much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
And now, like a supermodel's vagina, let's all give a warm welcome to Leonardo DiCaprio.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
The hippie, the hippie to the hip, hip hop. You don't stop the rocket to the bang, bang. Boogie say up, jump the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie, the beat.
I just look at how I tell the kid not to do drugs when I do drugs. I'll feel like a hypocrite.
Well, remember what I told you when you were a teenager?
What did you say?
I said no pills, no powders.
That's right, that's right.
If it grows in the ground, it's probably okay.
I mean, I guess it worked like you told me not to smoke pot all those years. And then I found out you were smoking pot that whole time.
Not the whole time, just in the evenings and all day every weekend. Not that much.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Hi!
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Oh, there it is.
Roll another.
Some big testicles to
this
pull this off, bro.
To be about to quit.
I do not do this. This is not what I do.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
That must have been a moment of party.
Roll.
Sexually attracted to young boys, to underage boys?
Just like the other one.
It brings me agony and sadness.
This one seems to be about to end.
Don't bogart that joint.
I don't have another cent.
I made the change from a common thief to up close and personal with Robin Leach.
Don't bogart that joint.
This bullsh**. This all bullsh**.
Let's pass it around.
Do you sit down and listen to a lot of John Williams?
No.
Did you hear me? I said I dig your groovy tunes, man.
And now.
Hey, Kevin. Hey, Bean. I have such an itchy scrotum. Itches so bad.
Oh, come on!
Our feature presentation.
Is that how we want to start?
It's really not.
So much oversharing there.
Really? Just too much. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday, the last day of February, 28th.
Yeah.
How do you people live in a place where it rains all the time?
No kidding.
How do you survive it?
Really big puddles.
I can't remember a time before it was raining.
I just want you to know that people in Seattle, man, yep. They sit out in these beautiful, sunny, warm right. days, and they just look at your weather on the TV, and they just laugh at
right.
it.
Right. People back east, same thing.
Yeah.
I hope just you guys are sending us some money.
Certainly. It's a natural disaster at this point.
Yeah.
2 days in a row?
Well,
state of emergency?
It will be, I'm sure.
Okay. All right. How can it not? I just don't know how a man can survive in a climate like that.
That's
I just don't.
That's
I just don't
know
how you do
almost
it.
Almost survive his boner. I
oh,
took
really?
Him out to go to the bathroom this morning, and I stepped into puddle up to my ankle, and he almost drowned.
Up to your ankle is twice the height of your
yeah,
dog.
Yeah, exactly. I had to wow. save him.
Well, now you know how Brad Williams feels every day of his life.
Oh.
Well, they're just battling with it. Hey, I have been following with great interest this story, at least I'm sure you have as well, of Jesus Pimentel. He is a Los Angeles man who is the lead plaintiff in a federal class action lawsuit against the city of Los Angeles. He says that the excessive parking fines are a violation of the Eighth Amendment of the Constitution.
Love it.
They now, sure have gone up. I'll
they sure
that.
Have gone up. Yes. That was one of Mayor Villaraigosa's legacies was that he raised parking fees. He's the guy who, remember, you used to be able to park for free after what? Was it 5 or 6?
Yeah.
And then he made it 8.
Yep.
And Sundays used to be free. And then he made Sundays pay.
Yep.
So that was one of his go-tos to try to get some money. Well, this is a 19-page lawsuit. And this, I mean, this has the potential to affect, everyone listening. It claims that the $175 excessive fine on a recent parking ticket that he got, which included an initial $63 parking ticket, It doubled after 2 weeks of non-payment. Then there was a $28 delinquent fee. Then a $21 collection fee.
Right.
He says $175 is what it ended up being, and that is a violation of U.S. and California Constitution's due process clause.
But
so yes. But had he paid it, it only would have been 63. Is that what you're going to say?
That's all on him. Just pay it.
Yeah.
I mean,
look, his argument, I'm sure part of his argument is that $63 for a parking meter is outrageous,
right.
too.
It is. And it's going up after only 2 weeks seems pretty crazy, too.
Doubling in 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's insane.
Huh.
This is one of those cases, and I don't know enough about the law to know whether this will be a judge or a jury situation, but I mean, it's, look, somebody in the system made the decision that that's how much the fine was going to be and that's how much the fees were going to be. Now it's up to somebody else in the system to say, I agree with you, or I don't, that's excessive and is unconstitutional.
Is it, you think it's because California is doing so poorly financially?
Oh, I'm certain that that was the incentive at the beginning. Yeah.
Right.
But I mean, look, this is just an opinion whether those are excessive fees or not. I mean, what do you guys think?
I think that's crazy.
It's
They're
ridiculous.
Terrible.
It's ridiculous. Yes, Bugs.
2 weeks ago, I got a $63 ticket for being too far away from the curb in my neighborhood in a cul-de-sac on a one-way street.
Oh,
so I'm with this guy.
Nice. Oh, my God.
Now, I do. In Mug's defense, he was 12 feet from the curb.
In other words,
in the middle of the road.
Right.
Now, I do remember from taking my driver's test all those years ago that there is a limit, a 12-inch limit, I think it is, that you're supposed to be within the curb, right?
Yeah. It said I was 18 inches.
I believe the cop. I think you were wrong.
BS.
Sorry.
Oh, well, it doesn't sound like Muggs is disputing that he was 18 inches away.
He's just
ticked that he got a ticket. Yeah. That's all.
Like, who's even going down those streets?
Nobody.
Oh, wrong.
For God's sake.
They're everywhere. I think they've upped their force by about 700%.
Yeah.
Well, we'll keep an eye on this. No comment from the LA City Attorney's Office, but it'll be interesting to see when this one finally gets to court what ends up happening, because that'd be quite a rollback. And then California could be even broker.
Yeah.
If they're not allowed to charge these anymore.
You know what they should do, and this just came to me, is legalize pot and then tax it.
Boom!
Seems like that would work.
That does seem like a good
Hundreds
idea.
Of millions of dollars going into Colorado right now, by the way.
Yep.
They got to start building new vaults to put all the cash in that is in Colorado right now.
They're California money just because they can't keep it all.
Right.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBicho, shall we?
Oh, my God, that's fantastic. You're amazing. Thank you so much.
You don't know what the show is yet, and yet it is a pretty good show. From the LA Times, we're going to talk to Glenn Whip, talking about Oscar predictions. The Oscars are, of course, Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
What? We have Chloe Sevigny, right?
That's right.
Okay, good.
Golf clap.
Talking about her show on A&E. Very excited about that. We have Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
Our old friend Jimmy Kimmel has a Oscar special that is on Sunday night. Those are always great. They always include, you know, some of those celebrity skits that he's so famous for.
Mm-hmm. Handsome Man's Club, that sort of thing.
Yep. We have Movie Beat because it's Friday. We have Michael Gill, who plays the president on House of Cards. And we have comedian Joe Rogan as well.
Wow. That is a lot of show.
All of that this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:55.
Seeing the Black Keys is already good.
Yeah.
Seeing the Black Keys in the Swiss Alps is the trip of a lifetime. And it's yours if you win K-Rock's World Tour 2014 Destination Number 4. I think we do the grand prize drawing on Monday morning in the 7 o'clock hour. You can be qualified. Get on that standby boarding list at 9:10 this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Friday.
Who parks 18 inches away from the curb?
Mugs.
How's that even possible?
I don't know for sure.
Once you get out of the car, don't you go, oh, crap, I got to get back in the car and fix that situation.
That's a terrible parking job.
You just go, there's food in the house. I'll just leave it there. Never mind.
It's a cul-de-sac, Ralph.
Who cares it's a cul-de-sac? It's a foot and a half away from a curb.
But I parked at a dead end.
You can put a midget lengthwise in between your car and the curb. It's too far.
Yeah, but it's a dead end.
I think noted it's a dead end. I think we got that. But still, you can park closer to the curb.
The personal sense of just order would require me to have to put the car somewhere near the curb where it belongs.
But have you considered it's a dead end?
I know. I hadn't thought about that. Someone should have explained that to me. I could see Bielmark just lives his life that way. Just goes through life just saying, well, okay then.
He also said it was a one-way street. in a cul-de-sac.
You can never
get back out.
That's right.
You got to park once and leave it forever.
It's just cars stacked on top of cars at the end of the cul-de-sac.
It's horrible. It's a nightmare.
All right, let's talk about show business news. Allison Williams from the HBO TV series Girls has announced she's headed to the altar. She is engaged.
She the hot one?
Yeah, she's the the attractive one.
The one who won't take her top off on the show.
Why is that the focus of what you know about her from that show?
Because it's Bean and it's TV.
And it's creepy.
Because
right.
I watched the show and it's so the rest of the show is so realistic when it comes to sexual depictions. But strangely, she only has sex with her bra on.
Yeah.
She won't take her shirt off on regular television.
Bean just spent it all his time.
Do it or don't do it, Allison Williams. That's what I'm saying.
She said she won't do it.
She's not doing it.
Yeah. I mean, so she don't do it.
No, I mean, commit to the scene or don't be on the show.
I see. Wow. Wow.
She's engaged.
Creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert.
Lisa's with me.
No, I'm not with you, Bean.
Stop saying that. Every time you say that, you're wrong, by the way. Right, Lisa? She'll go, no. That's what she says every time.
Lisa's my lifeboat. You know that.
Well, you better start bailing. There's a leak.
There is a leak.
She's engaged to Ricky Van Veen.
Ricky Van Veen.
Who is the co-founder of CollegeHumor.com.
Oh. See? So he's probably pretty rich.
Make him laugh. Make him breakfast, boys. Right. I've always told you, haven't I?
Sure.
You've heard her sing, right, Ralph? She's very talented.
I have heard her sing, yeah. Allison has said her entire goal in life is to create a career that she can walk away from to become a mommy. So it looks like her priorities are wedded bliss and then lots of babies. So we wish her the best.
It's impressive.
Wow, she makes a lot of bad choices.
It's impressive in Hollywood.
It is. Speaking of marriage plans, looks like Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher are engaged. Both Us Weekly and E! News have reported that there's a large diamond ring Mila wears on that hand. And by all accounts, sources say they are planning a wedding. So congratulations to those two.
She's awesome.
She is the best. She really is. Meanwhile, John Mayer and Katy Perry, their latest breakup, according to sources, here's weird. Some sources say it was mutual and amicable, while others say the two had been fighting a lot. Whatever the case, it looks like it's for real deal this time because a moving truck was spotted outside the home that they shared together in the Hollywood Hills. So it looks like somebody's taken off.
That's not what you want.
I want to remind everybody that I did call dibs.
You did.
Yep. So
when you got dibs, you got dibs.
Expect to hear from her.
And not every Hollywood relationship ends amicably, although they would like us to believe it does. Like John and Kate Gosselin. Remember John plus Kate equals 8 minus divided by pi umlaut? Yeah. Remember that show?
During the show, I thought she was the terrible one because she talked to him in a terrible way. But
well, she is terrible. Don't get me wrong.
And then he left. And then we realized, wow, he's bad too.
He is on a new episode of Couples Therapy. I guess he's with someone else on couples therapy, I'm guessing. They're not together, but he does talk about her and apparently goes off on an excellent monologue, calling her a cruddy human being and doesn't care if she effing dies.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
He's the
mother of mother of your 8 children there.
Wow. Yeah, that's a little extreme.
And Leah Remini, she is happy since she split Scientology. She's finally revealing what went through her mind about that decision when she left the religion.
Oh, good.
She said that she was always telling her kids a family first in their house and about her relationship with her husband and her 9-year-old daughter, Sophia. And then she said the demands of her time were so much spent at the church that she couldn't really be there for her own kid. She started to recognize that she was putting so much time into her church time that her motto of family first was really sounding hollow to her own kid. And she said her Sophia, who is 9 years old, was reaching the age where she would have to go through the auditing process for Scientology. And once that dawned on her, she realized she did not want to put her daughter through that. It was time for her to leave. Her own mother, apparently, Leah Remini's mother, put her through it. She was a Scientologist
so
as
she
well.
Knows.
And she had resented her mother for that. For a long, long time, she started to recognize that once it came time for her own daughter to face the same trials. So she said she's out, and she's happy. And she said it's been tough because, as you can imagine, she got a lot of stick from those people in that religion. And
lost a lot of friends, I'm sure.
Lost a lot of friends. lost a lot of family. And she said she gets through it by spending her time with her new best friend, Jennifer Lopez.
All right.
And a lot of wine, she said. Okay. So she's my kind of girl. Today's celebrity birthdays. Comedian Gilbert Gottfried is 59 years old. Actor John Turturro is 57. Ray Dong Chong is 53. Robert Sean Leonard. You know him as Wilson on House for many, many seasons. Very nice
Your old
guy.
Co-star, Ralph.
My old co-star. I got to hang with Robert on the set that when I did that show. And he is
You were Bobby on that.
I was Bobby. He's such a sweet guy. He made me feel very much at home, and we had a good time. 45 years old today.
It's Bobby!
Pat Monahan of Train is 45. Allie Larder is 38. Singer Jake Bugg, he is 20. And Cindy Williams of the B-52s, I'm sorry, Cindy Wilson of the B-52s is 57 years old today. You got some love shack in your future, people. Right? Are you? Who's with me?
I'm with you.
Are you with me, Lisa?
Yeah, I'm with you, Ralph.
See, she's with me. She's not with you. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Our friend Joe Rogan in studio with us for the 7 o'clock hour this morning. Also, the President of the United States of America on Netflix's House of Cards. Actor Michael Gill will be here later on. Chloe Sevigny and Jimmy Kimmel. That's a lot of show today for a Friday on a Kevin and Ben show, I think.
Not bad.
Speaking of a lot of show, Pat O'Brien joins us in studio. Hey, Pat, how are you?
Hi, Kevin B. How are you guys doing?
We're very good.
We're fine.
I didn't see you. Dry. It's really wet out there.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, it's Stormageddon is what it is.
Is that what it is? Yeah, I didn't realize.
It's wet-pocalypse.
I don't see you on the schedule today, Pat. What's
Well, I know you guys have been struggling in the ratings, and I thought I'd bring some of my radio luster to help you guys a little bit.
We're actually doing pretty well,
Not
Pat.
Well, I don't know where you get your information. My show's doing great.
You don't have a show.
You got fired, Pat. You're not on the air anymore.
It was too good.
Oh, because it was too good. Okay.
Yeah. People's ears were exploding.
I see.
Too much goodness.
And how are you going to help us?
Well, I know it's Oscars, of course, this weekend, the big Oscar show on Sunday.
Right.
Of course, right.
And I thought maybe we could touch on who's going to win. I give you my predictions, and that way you know when you got your office pool or you're doing a pool there at your Oscar party. By the way, don't offer me any drinks at your Oscar party.
Right.
You bring me by.
How come, Pat?
I had to fight my demons, by the way.
Oh, right. That's right.
Those, and I wrote an open letter to myself offering my own help to me.
Right. Sure.
Yeah.
But then you wouldn't take your call, so it got ugly, I heard.
It did. I'm not talking to me anymore.
So do you have a pretty good track record with the Academy Awards?
Yeah. I've been an entertainment journalist for many years.
Right.
Right.
And I got all the inside information. I know... several of my friends are on the Academy.
Okay.
Oh, I see. So you know some voters. Okay.
Like Barbara Mandrell, my good friend Barbara. She'll be
who's that?
Barbara
the Mandrell. Popular country singer from the 1970s?
Yeah, one of the Mandrell sisters. I know all the sisters. I know Jolene and Nikki.
Either of those are actually Mandrell sisters. I think Louise is the name of
Louise,
you're
looking
for.
That's it. Yeah. I had a three-way with her once.
Nope.
Came out of the bathroom and just say yes. If you want that. So here's what's going to win.
All right.
Okay.
Best actor.
Okay.
Put all your money on Ashton Kutcher for Jobs. That was the most impressive
it's not nominated.
Of the year, I think, in my
He's
opinion.
He's not one of the nominees, though.
Well, no, these would be the write-ins.
Oh, course, I see.
A lot of write-ins.
We're going to have a write-in winner for best actor at the Oscars?
Sure. Jobs.
That's going to be quite a surprise when
I
that
like
happens.
Jobs.
Right.
Anybody got one? Enjoy Jobs. I
right.
Enjoy having one.
You don't have one right now.
Just
but
say maybe you guys are.
You will.
You know, maybe you need somebody to do entertainment news or
well,
something. Maybe I
let's see how
in.
This goes. Ralph is weak.
Best actress in a leading role?
Yes.
Yes.
I got to thank Lindsay Lohan for The Canyons. Because she conquered her demons. And Hollywood loves somebody who conquers their demons.
But you can't win the award if you're not nominated.
I'm just saying, if Hollywood loves somebody who conquered their demons,
right?
Maybe there's room in Hollywood for somebody who conquered their demons. Maybe give that person a job, is what I'm saying.
Oh, I
okay.
see. Back to the job.
I see.
Okay.
So it's really more about you than it is about predicting Oscars.
I think maybe that Sandra Bullock, she might win, too.
Okay.
Because, you know, she had to poop in that suit, that space suit. They wouldn't let her out. They wouldn't let her out to go to the bathroom. So she had to urinate and defecate inside that suit the whole time they were shooting
that
movie.
None and of
to
that
give
is true.
That performance.
That's not true.
While smelling that inside
Pat,
that suit is remarkable, and I think they should give her an award for that alone.
That's not the case.
It didn't happen.
So that's
that
exactly
just didn't happen.
What happened. We're going to have to agree to disagree on this one, I think. You know who told me about that?
Who?
It was Willard Scott.
Willard Scott was there with her.
Was
they're
where?
Dating, you know. Sandra Bullock and Willard Scott. Yeah, they're a couple.
It's not possible.
Willard Scott is like 90 years old. You know that, right, Pat?
Just because there's snow on the roof doesn't mean there's not a fire in the furnace, my friends. Just remember that. We'll have to agree to disagree.
All right.
Ask Hartman. He'll tell you.
We don't know him.
Hartman's probably not talking to you anymore, is he, Pat?
Best performance by a supporting actor.
Okay.
All right. Another big category?
Yeah. I got to go with Michael Fassbender. 12 Years a Slave.
Oh, for 12 Years a Slave?
Okay.
Really? Over Jared Leto? Because he's been winning everything.
No. People are tired of Leto. It's Michael Fassbender. Michael Fassbender has an enormous penis.
Is that right?
That's the word in Hollywood.
It's not
right?
a word. It's the fact.
Okay. You could actually kind of see it
you
in a movie.
See it in that movie.
Yeah.
But you don't, get Oscars for that.
Shame.
Yep.
Shame? Sling?
Listen to Lisa.
Yeah,
shame.
I
shame.
Just thought.
Swing?
No, I don't think it was swing.
Swinging.
It was called
it
Shame.
Was.
That's
it was
right.
Swinging, yeah, it was
though.
Shame. Yes,
he was swinging
it was.
Back and forth like a grandfather's clock.
Right.
Tick-tock. 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 What time is it? Oh, looks like it's straight up 12 noon. Because Michael Fassbender just walked in the room.
Pat, if you're right and Michael Fassbender wins that Best Supporting Actor, we owe you a huge apology because it would be shocking if you predicted that and got it right.
It's either him or Larry the Cable Guy for Medea Christmas. That's what I'm guessing.
They're, again, not nominated. You can't really... Pick people that aren't nominated for an
Oscar.
You
told me that? Larry Bud Melman told me that was going to happen.
He's dead, yeah. You know.
Well, for you, sure. But I get word from the afterlife.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I conquered my demons.
Yeah.
And best supporting actress in a supporting role.
Another big one.
Right. Yeah. I think that answer's got to go to Lupita Nyong'o. Also
oh, now
12
she
years
is,
a slave.
She is the favorite, so maybe you're right on that one.
Yeah. She's never taken a bath. I don't know if you know that or not about her. That's a celebrity fact. Celebrity fact about Lupita Nyong'o. Has never bathed. Not once.
She is lovely and looks like she smells clean.
Well, she looks like it, but she's never bathed. Not once.
That's absurd. How do you know that?
They wrote it in the script. They work in the script that they wouldn't let her bathe. Because she's bathophobic.
It's not a thing.
Ask Hartman, she'll tell you. She smelled worse than Sandra Bullock in that spacesuit by the end of the shoot. I'll tell you, that's how bad that was.
A lot of your facts are suspect, Pat, but thanks for coming by.
Paul McCartney says hi.
Does he?
To me, not to you.
Oh, I see.
I'm Ralph Garman.
Thank you.
Hey, it's Friday, and it's time for the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Hey, how's your God treating you?
What?
How's your God treating you?
Okay.
A lot of people predicting it's going to be a big weekend for God. Big weekend for God.
What is that? Why? How? What?
Because there's a new movie coming out called Son of God.
Ah.
It's a story of Jesus. Jesus' life through his humble birth, through his teachings, his crucifixion, his resurrection. This is a holy roller flick. That's flying under the radar, but the people in the know say, watch out the weekend box office because when they load up the buses.
Yeah, that's true.
Those movies do get supported.
They sure do.
Heavily, yeah.
And
I've heard that they've done, they track advanced sales, and these have just been through the roof the past couple weeks for this film.
When Kirk Cameron and his friends get a minivan and start picking people up at their houses, trust me, the Cineplexes will be packed. So,
now, Ralph, is this the movie, am I keeping this straight, is this the one that has already aired as a miniseries on TV and they just kind of repackaged it as a movie?
I'm not familiar with that part of the story. It wouldn't surprise me if that's the case, but everyone's saying Son of God is going to have a big weekend. So
all right.
Keep
all right.
that in mind as we look through the rest of the films this weekend. If you're more sinner than saint, maybe you want to check out Repentance, another movie coming out this weekend, Repentance. About a successful author played by Forrest Whitaker who takes on a troubled friend completely unaware that the man's fixation on his mother's death will soon put the author's life in jeopardy.
Ooh.
Forrest Whitaker needs a big budget blockbuster film.
You think so?
Yeah, he needs
too many of these?
Too many of these. Too many of these kind of movies are just... have some fun, Forrest, will you? Please, come back to us, won't you?
He was real good in that The Butler.
He was. Not exactly a good time at the movies.
Right.
Here's a scene from Repentance, clips from the trailer.
You must face your fears head on.
Angel, smile!
What are you doing?
They took my mom before her time.
Let's ask her to move on.
She says you can't leave.
What are you doing?
Are you ready to go on a journey of healing with me?
Why are you keeping me here?
You're
truth.
Set you free.
It will bring her back.
Smile!
Non-stop. This is what I'm talking about, bitches.
This looks good to me, too. I thought you'd mock me.
You kidding me? You got Liam the Snake Neeson up there in a big plane.
Sure.
It does look good.
With Julianne Moore. Lupita Nyong'o.
Sure.
He's an air marshal. And while he's in flight, he gets text messages from somewhere in the plane.
I will kill somebody.
Well, it doesn't sound like that because it's a text message. But
right.
I will kill somebody unless you give me $50 million.
So it's kind of a B-movie with an A-movie cast and hopefully script, right?
How dare you, B-movie. I'll B-movie you.
That doesn't make sense.
Like a monkey! Yeah, it looks like a thriller, and it looks... Apparently, it keeps you guessing towards the end, and it's action-packed. It's Liam Neeson with a gun. What more do you need?
Looks great.
Here's a scene where Neeson, as the air marshal, tells the passengers what's going on their nonstop flight.
Passenger on board this flight has threatened to kill someone every 20 minutes. Unless they're paid $150 million. They want you to believe that I'm responsible. I've lost my family, my job. I'm an alcoholic. My daughter was diagnosed with acute leukemia at the age of 5. And I spent my days at work instead of being at home. Looking after her because I was afraid of watching her die. I'm not a good father. I'm not hijacking this plane. I'm trying to save it.
Oversharing.
Wow, no kidding.
Oh my God.
Is he talking
too much
to a
backstory?
Talking to a priest?
Can I get some more nuts, please, stewardess? It's going to be a long speech. I don't care. I don't care.
I don't either. Looks
I'm
great.
Not stopping all over this weekend. I'm just going to know I'm going to nonstop. Or I might take a little time and check out Anchorman 2. The legend continues, the supersized R-rated version.
Can't wait.
Because it just has a one-week run, so you don't want to miss out. If you want to catch this in the theaters, this is your weekend to go. This is Anchorman 2. The legend continues, but it is a brand new edit of that film where they've swapped out 763 of the jokes.
Really?
Made it a little bit longer. Adam McKay and Will Ferrell went back in there, took all the footage they had, and brought in brand new stuff. So it's like a new movie. It's the movie you've seen, but it's a brand new version of the movie.
Have you ever heard of this?
No.
I've never heard of this.
You know, we
I
talked
haven't.
About this last week when we talked about that this was going to happen, and we posed the question, have you ever heard of a re-edited version of a film being released in theaters while the original was still out?
Right.
And we said, no. And then a very cinema-savvy listener sent me an email and said he did remember it once happening, and I remembered it once he mentioned it, was that at the time when Saturday Night Fever with John Travolta was released.
Right.
It was such a smash hit film. It was a blockbuster.
Right.
In the R-rated version that Paramount wisely wanted to increase the amount of money they were making. So they, at the same time, released a PG-edited version of that film.
Interesting.
So that kids who enjoyed the disco music could also get into theaters and buy their tickets as well.
I can see that.
It's not completely unheard of, but it is pretty rare. Here's a scene from Anchorman 2, the new version. This is where Ron is forbidding his wife, Veronica Cornerstone, to take the job as the lead anchor of the station where they both work, and they argue in front of their kid.
You forbid it? What, who are you, Julius Caesar?
Who the hell is Julius Caesar? Do you mean Dr. J? Dr. Julius Caesar, the basketball player?
I'm sorry, Mr. and Mrs. Burgundy. He not go to sleep.
He needs to hear this. He's 6 years old. He's a man. Walter, listen to me. Life isn't a fairy tale, okay? It's not let's play Candyland and take a 3-hour dump. It's about getting a paycheck and keeping a gun out of your mouth.
He is a child, Ron.
No. He's got hair on his nugs. He's old enough to hear this. Sometimes in life, you're going to have to drink a big, fat, stinking bowl of hot, frothy horse. Am I getting through to you?
Please play the whole movie, Ralph. Could that just be the rest of the show?
I remember that scene, and those are all new jokes.
I can't wait.
I can't wait to laugh again at Anchorman 2. It's so awesome. He's 6 years old. He's a man. Woo! Laughing. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie.
Joe Rogan will be here in about 20 minutes. Got some stand-up, got a special, talk about the UFC, a lot of great topics. Talk about the collapse of Bitcoin, talk about all the hunting he's been doing. Joe Rogan's a fascinating dude.
Yes, he is.
We never run out of topics with our friend Joe. He'll be here right at 7 o'clock. In the meantime, Kevin, I saw something over the weekend that I've been hanging on to that I really think might help you.
Might help me?
You,
okay.
yes, you are one of those people, and I know it's a result of a lot of different reasons, but you can't sleep. You've got insomnia in the worst way, right?
Yeah, sometimes it's just all night. You just finally go, all right, I'll just get up.
Sometimes it's days in a row and weeks go by and you just can never get caught up. And I know that, you know, we've talked about this in the past, and I know that in your private life you've tried everything that anyone has ever suggested to you. Don't bother emailing Kevin and saying, hey, have you tried not watching TV an hour before bed? Because he's tried all of that stuff.
Melatonin, perhaps?
Yep, tried it.
Right. Well, I saw this story, and this was new to me, and I want to spring it on you because this might help you. It might help other K-Rock listeners. All Listen up from ABC News. Here's Diane Sawyer.
And next right here, our series this week, Sleepless in America. Tonight, 23 million of us wonder if we're going to go to sleep or stay awake all night with insomnia. Well, what if there was a simple way to drift off to sleep and for free? ABC's Lindsay Davis shows us the new sleep whisperers who say they can change millions of lives.
Sleep whisperers now.
Nope.
Do they just sit in your bedroom?
They sit there and look at you and go, go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep.
I know that it sounds dumb, but listen up.
Hey, guys. Today I have a new video for you.
If just hearing her voice makes you suddenly have the strong desire to doze off,
a couple of sound requests.
Ilsa Blonsert won't be offended. In fact, it's the response she wants.
The water whispers, Ilsa.
She is a sleep whisperer, one of an exploding community on the internet known as Autonomous Sensory Meridian Responders, or ASMR. They tap, brush, pour, and mostly whisper, all to lull people to sleep.
Okay, so
they literally whisper.
They literally whisper, and they make these long videos that are up on YouTube, and you put it on. And at first, your impulse is you want to laugh at it because it looks dumb to see a person getting up close to the camera just talking like this.
Right.
But the more you listen to it, the more you realize, wow, I kind of forget about it.
But when people
makes you go to sleep.
But when people whisper, don't you kind of listen a little more closely?
I guess at first, but I think what maybe it does is it makes your brain stop doing what your brain does to keep you awake.
I don't know that that's possible, first of all.
And it's quiet and it's soothing and it kind of lulls you off. She's attractive enough that I wish she weren't so attractive
I'm
no longer lying in my bed trying to sleep at this point.
Yeah.
So you heard reference to some other things. Now, there's a whole series of videos. Hers are among the most popular, and she's a sleep whisperer, and I'll play some more of her in a minute here. But there are people who, they have a different sensory trigger for them. Some like to hear pouring water, and you always hear about those with the sleep machines people have. That's one of the noise options is people who want to hear a thunderstorm or rain outside their window or a babbling brook or whatever. Some people like to see, you know, like little beads that are being, you're running your fingers through. Some people like the sound of brushing. You know, I mean, there's lots of different choices depending on what you like. Let's hear a little bit
brushing
more.
Brushing what? Hair? Teeth? What?
Whatever. You know, sometimes just a brush just along a countertop or something like that. Just a real soft sound that just kind of distracts you enough and soothes you a little bit. But let's hear some more of what Ilsa talks about how it works for her.
Nice sounds.
Is it just a soothing voice? Is it a calming voice?
It has to do with the combination of sounds and voices. I'm not convinced that it works. It actually works.
Her videos have generated nearly 16 million clicks, and hers are among the thousands of ASMR options. One of Ilsa's followers is Emily Hansen, who says Ilsa's videos have changed her life.
I could not sleep, and I just was thinking about so many different things going on in my life.
When Hansen saw her first ASMR video, she found it hard to keep her eyes open.
It was one of the most euphoric experiences I've ever felt.
By the way, the one thing, it's interesting that person in the news there, she says that your mind is racing. And that's the problem a lot of people have.
Right.
Is that they can't shut down their brain. They can't stop thinking about the things that are going on in their life. And I thought in our remaining moment here, let's hear a little bit of Ilsa if you want to hear what the sleep whisperer is all about. And again, I know the tendency, Kevin, is to laugh at the beginning because you're listening to a girl whisper. But imagine if you were in bed and the lights were out and you just had your laptop open on the bedside table or something like that and this video were playing. There's not enough interesting going on the screen to kind of force your eyes in that direction. I think at some point you just close your eyes and you just listen to her.
Huh. What I wanted to say is I hope that you guys had a very good day. And I hope that you're able to relax. Video
doing anything for you?
And my boobs.
No, not her boobs. Now you're missing the point. That's not how it works.
That's how the internet works, Bean. Don't you know anything? That's all
well,
it does.
I tried.
Let's try and get her on the phone and yeah. figure out what's going on. See if we can understand what she's saying. I'll give it a try. I'd try anything.
What the hell, right?
I'm up like super late at night, and K-Rock listeners get mad at me.
Because you're tweeting.
Yeah, they're like tweeting or doing something, and they're like, go to sleep. Like,
don't
they're
you have
super
to be
annoyed.
Up in 4 hours?
Yeah. I was like, oh, I didn't think of that. That's awesome. You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Friday morning. What's going on?
Well, looks like we have our bad guy for Star Wars Episode 7.
Oh.
Yeah. Big rumor around Hollywood yesterday was that girls actor Adam Driver will be the villain in the upcoming... Why are the kids cheering for that?
I don't know. Do they like him?
The kids like Adam Driver. They think he's very talented.
Do the kids?
Yeah, he's
they
weak,
do.
He's a weak ass.
He's been in a bunch of things lately besides Girls. He was in Lincoln. He was in... What else was he in? Something else he was real good in, too.
Yeah. This stinks of Hayden Christensen all over again.
Uh-oh.
Let's get, like, a young, hip actor who has female appeal, and we'll put him in the Star Wars movies. That'll help us.
Or he's a good actor.
Maybe he'll express himself over Princess Leia's chest.
Who? Who, indeed. Because
that was
we're
a
not
big moment in Girls, everyone talked about.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Michael Fassbender, for example, auditioned for the role. They chose not to use him.
Wow.
Well, that he has no gravitas, really. Wow. Why would you make him a villain in a Star Wars movie? Just because it's perfect? Is that why?
Look, Michael Fassbender's great in everything.
Oh, is he? Oh, okay.
When does this movie come out?
2015-ish.
Okay, all right. I'll make a note.
The other film he was in was Inside Llewyn Davis. He was in. He was real good in that too.
Yeah. Okay. Look,
Lisa, you got my back. Adam Driver, good actor, right?
I really like him. But I haven't seen him in a ton of stuff, so I don't know what his range is. But I do find him quite compelling to watch.
Can you see him as a Star Wars villain of epic proportions, of Darth Vader proportions?
Honestly.
Yeah.
We better take back the kids then.
Yeah. I like it when they go backwards. It's fun to watch them go back up the jungle gym. Katy Perry's in trouble. Yeah.
Can I help?
BBC News says that the video for her single Dark Horse has been accused of blasphemy.
Oh, dear God.
From the Arabic world. One of the male characters in the video is wearing a pendant that has the Arabic word for God on it, but then he gets vaporized by Katy Perry as an evil Egyptian queen named Katy Patra. Really? Really?
Really?
Really, Arabic world?
Somebody's taking that seriously?
Just avert your eyes. Just move on. Just let's move along. Boy.
Some things are important. This is
that,
not
You know
not
what
one
is
not
them. Important? The Katy Perry music video.
Yeah, agreed.
It's not going to bring down your religion. Her goofy video where she plays Katy Patra. First of all, isn't anyone upset that her neighbor country is Katy Patra?
Can I, just for folks who maybe don't listen to pop radio, can I play a little bit of Dark Horse, the
sure.
Katy Perry song you're talking about? Because people may not know this song.
Play Dark Horse. Play.
No, it's really good.
No, go ahead. Play the
clip. No, I'm serious,
no.
though. I think you're...
Looking forward to
Weird
hearing the actual
in the sky keeps on Dark Horse. Turning.
There it is.
There
that's,
it is.
That's Katy Perry.
That's Dark Horse. There. Katy and John Mayer, split up. It is on. No, we know because a moving van pulled up to Katy's house on Wednesday, and all of John Mayer's stuff was removed. Katy and John began their relationship in June of 2012. Then it ended in July of 2012. Then it started again in August of 2012 and ended in September of 2012 and then started again in October of 2012.
No.
In November of 2012, they got back together again only to break up over the holidays of 2012. In 2013, in January, they got back together. In February of 2013, they were slightly apart, estranged, but still together. And then March of 2013, they got back together. July of 2013 is when they really got serious.
Seems like every time they meet, they're probably on the road, both of them. So every time they meet, they either break up or get back together.
Yeah. Hey, who's this person? They look very attractive.
I wish Muggs was in the room right now to hear how ridiculous a relationship like that, try to sustain it, is.
He would have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. He would not see any parallels in anybody's life.
Hey, while we've been talking about movies, and we have a bunch because the Oscars, of course, are coming up this weekend. How about that Wes Anderson? He's the real deal.
He is.
He makes great movies. His next one is called The Grand Budapest Hotel. An amazing cast, once again, assembled for Wes Anderson's writing and directing effort. This time, it's Ralph Fiennes in the lead, Edward Norton, Bill Murray, Owen Wilson. The names go on and on and on. Looks to be a very entertaining film. We're doing a special K-Rock advance screening of The Grand Budapest Hotel at the Landmark Theater here in Los Angeles. If you'd like to attend on March the 6th, give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers to get through with that number will get a pair of passes to see Grand Budapest Hotel before it opens. It's in theaters everywhere on Friday, March the 7th, but you will see it before that. So give us a call now. Check out Wes Anderson's latest effort. Jason Schwartzman, our buddy, is also in that
film.
Looking forward to seeing that. Today's celebrity birthdays, comedian Gilbert Gottfried is 59. Actor John Turturro turns 57 years old. Actress Ray Dawn Chong, who had quite the career for herself in the 80s. She was in almost everything.
Was she?
I haven't seen a lot from her lately, but she's talented. 53 years old. Robert Sean Leonard, of course, from House, but let's not forget he was also in Dead Poets Society. That's where he got his big break. He was great in that film. 45 years old. Pat Monahan of Train, also 45. Ali Larter is 38. Singer Jake Bugg celebrates his 20th birthday. And Cindy Wilson. Cindy Wilson of the B-52s.
Where it's at.
How can you hate that, Kevin? How can you have no soul if you don't move your ass when that song comes on?
I think I used to hate it. It doesn't bug me as much anymore.
Because it's just a good time for
your
ears.
Yeah, it really sort of is.
It's just good ear time.
It's
right
good
there.
Ear time.
That's what that is.
Yeah, I think I'm coming around.
Cindy's 57 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Actress Chloe Sevigny on the program later on today, and her old friend Jimmy Kimmel returns to the program. Right now, though, ladies and gentlemen, how about our friend Joe Rogan?
Hi.
Joe is on my TV tonight at midnight on Comedy Central with his brand-new special called Live from the Tabernacle. We're going to hear all about that later on. But first, Joe, let's get, since you've just survived the storm. What's it like out there?
It's ridiculous. People are panicking. It's very important for Los Angeles because I think that one of the things that makes people a little creepy around here is that we don't have to deal with weather. Yeah. I think it's very important to deal with weather and recognize that you're in this crazy ecosystem, that you're a part of this planet, and that things change and they get very strange when it gets rainy out. It's good for people. All this not having to deal with weather, we're a bunch of spoiled babies.
We are. That's true.
What'd you see on the way in? Accidents?
Panicking freaks and Priuses white-knuckling their steering wheels at 10 and 12, frantically trying to figure out what to do with all this moisture. Bunch of babies. We have a city full of babies.
Joe told us something, Kevin, as he sat down, that was big news that may have huge, far-reaching effects in the world of UFC. Tell us about it, Joe.
Yes, testosterone please. Replacement therapy has been banned by the Nevada State Athletic Commission.
Now explain what that is.
What that is a very weird thing where some fighters, it's not nearly as many as everybody thinks. It's a lot of hyperbole about this. There's literally only five on the UFC roster currently. Frank Mir, Dan Henderson, Vitor Belfort, a couple others.
So some big names.
Yeah, some big names. I forget who the other ones were. Anyway, these guys they take artificial testosterone. Okay. So as you get older, there's like, you see those commercials, late night guys, are you losing your libido?
Right.
And they give you testosterone, you get you back your libido. It's simple. Your body's trying to die, and you're trying to fight it. That's what's going on.
Well, it's like your bit about the gray pube hairs, right?
Exactly. It is what it is. I mean, your body's trying to die.
Why are they banning it?
Here's why.
Okay.
People are taking it when they're in their 20s and 30s. That's ridiculous.
Right.
There was one guy on the roster that was 25 years old that was on it.
And does that help you be more aggressive? Does it help you? Are you stronger?
Without doubt.
It does.
In the ring and out.
Okay. Yes.
Let me ask you this then. How has it not been banned until now?
Because, well, doctors prescribe it. Here's where it becomes an issue. Doctors will come in and say, my client has low testosterone. He needs a testosterone supplement.
Right.
Like Vitor Belfort was supposed to be fighting for the title against Chris Weidman. And now he had to pull out of the fight because Vitor's on testosterone replacement. Now, here's the problem. A lot of the reasons why some of these guys are on testosterone replacement is because they took steroids. And when you take steroids, you put a bunch of extra testosterone in your system, and your body's like, what is all this? Let's stop producing it. So your testicles shut down. So then when your testicles shut down, in order to rebuild your endocrine system correctly, it takes roughly half the amount of time you were on the stuff. So if you're on steroids for a year, it would take you 6 months to get your body back up to snuff with natural remedies.
Right.
And with there's some also chemicals that can recharge your system and block estrogen. There's a bunch of different things that can happen. The real problem is people are cheating. That's what they're doing. They're taking this artificial testosterone, and it's making them supercharged. They're also taking hyperhuman levels. If you're committed to taking artificial testosterone and you have a bottle of this stuff at home and you have needles, who's to stop? You know, they say, well, take like 0.2 cc's. Who's to stop you from taking 4?
Yeah.
No one can stop you. And they do that. They're taking it. And all they have to do is make sure that when they test, their levels are normal. And so since it depletes over time, you just have to time it out right. So you have to time it out where you're taking hyperhuman levels during your camp, and then you drop off right before.
How do you know there's only 5?
Well, I just know. I know what who's allowed to. I know who the exemptions are. Like I said, Vitor, Frank Mir.
So it's pretty rare,
Chael
too.
And Dan Henderson.
What's Vitor's life going to be like off this stuff?
Very interesting. A lot of things are going to change. Well, he's the poster boy for testosterone replacement therapy because 3 years ago, his body looked radically different and he wasn't doing as well. He was losing.
Right.
Then he gets on testosterone replacement and goes on this tear where it just starts destroying people, and he's got this incredible confidence and aggression, and it's, you know, it's a chemically induced state. It's very, very controversial, and he's the most controversial because he's the most successful and because there's such a radical shift in how he used to look and how he's fighting now.
I totally tell.
Do other sports already ban it? It's not allowed in baseball and basketball and stuff like that?
No, there's some sport. I mean, there's some people that have it in baseball. There's some people that have it in other sports, but it's not that many. MMA was fairly high with the UFC having, I think, 5. It might be a little bit more than 5. It might be like 6, one that I don't remember or know about. But it's not much more than that. But there was a big article on ESPN recently where they were trying to make it out like this is this huge deal with 500 fighters, you know, one out of that.
Oh, my gosh.
5 out of that, yeah. 500 fighters on roster, 5 guys out of it.
I want to talk a little bit more about UFC right now just because that way we get time to get into whatever crazy animals you've discovered and also your comedy special. Joe Rogan is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Did I get my $54.95's worth on UFC 170, Joe?
That's a good question. Yeah. What is $54.95 worth to you?
Well, I mean, did you tell me you were there.
I liked the Damian Maia fight.
Yeah, the Damian Maia fight was great. Yeah. The Stephen Thompson fight was great. Look, the Pat Cummins fight was a great showcase for Daniel Cormier. You know, to show how badass he is at 205.
Minute 19, I think.
Yeah. It was just a beating.
Were you surprised by that? Was there any chance in a million years in your mind of a spectacular Rocky-like comeback from this unknown?
It's very hard to pull off a fight with no training camp at all. It's one thing if a guy gets like 3 weeks or 4 weeks. You know, things have happened, but
it's also
zero?
Daniel Cormier, too.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Anyone.
And Daniel because Cormier I think like going through a full camp.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. I think like a lot of people, I wanted to believe that this could be one of the great, you know, one of the great shocks in the history of the sport. And it just was so disappointing when it actually finally happened. I mean, it was so much fun leading up to the bell, and then it just ended so quickly.
Well, the reality of Pat Cummins is he's a very good fighter. And he's also a guy that people have been avoiding for a long time. He has a really hard time getting fights. And that's one of the reasons why his UFC debut was so exciting. But there's a really big difference between a fighter who's gone through a 6 week, 8 week training camp and a fighter who's gone through no training camp.
Right.
I mean, there's no way you're prepared. You're not tuned up because of sparring. You're not in the kind of shape you need to be in. There's just no way.
That's sort of a no win for Cormier because he has to win, and if he doesn't, it's just crazy.
It was a no win unless you win.
Yeah.
And he won. It looked awesome.
Unless he won.
So
it's
a one.
Good point.
It's a one. It's
all
definitely
right.
A one.
Okay. All right.
And let's spend a minute talking about the ladies because there's no one good for Ronda Rousey to fight.
Oh,
at
you're
this
so
point,
incorrect. I wish I could
tell
you
what
I know.
Oh,
I wish I could
tell
you. I know some secret stuff.
Who's out there that we don't know about that's good enough to really challenge her?
You might actually know. know, but I can't tell you.
Okay,
I can say
are
no
the
more.
Top 10?
I can say no more than I've already said.
Are
but
they in the top
I will
10?
Tell you this, and this is a K-Rock exclusive. Within the next probably week or so, a huge announcement will come about women's fighting, and I'll be back in, and we'll
is
talk some more.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's going to be crazy.
Let's talk about it now, though.
Madness. I wish I could. I wish I could, but I would betray the confidence of my friend and employer.
Rod is so fun to watch, though, isn't she?
She's good? Awesome. She's everything you could ever ask for if you were trying to build a sport. Like, what are you trying to do? You're trying to get people excited about women's MMA. Okay, you need a beautiful woman that can kick men's asses.
Yeah.
that doesn't exist, right?
Who has a phenomenal personality and a hilarious sense of humor. I mean, we have her. She's funnier than most of the comedians that we have in here, Joe.
She's badass.
You know, she's
in every
great.
Way. She's the real deal. You know, and she's you know, she's not Charlie's Angels. Remember, you would watch Charlie's Angels, and you're like, Drew Barrymore ain't kicking anybody's ass. Get out of here with that, son.
Right.
But you see her, and she is beautiful. And even though she has a thick neck, she's a kind of buff, very strong looking. She's beautiful. You know,
she is beautiful,
undeniably beautiful.
After watching the end of that fight several times, you think it was stopped prematurely?
It was stopped a bit prematurely, perhaps. Yeah. But there's a very strong argument that it was stopped perfectly, because when you get hit like that, if you've ever been hit. In the liver.
Tell people where she. Yeah, how.
Yeah,
how that
she
happened.
Got hit with a knee to the liver, not one, but four really hard ones. And the last one, her body just shut down. Her legs gave out, and she just collapsed. And she didn't try to protect herself. She just put her hand on the mat and just sort of stayed there.
And you were saying, no matter what shape you're in, that you can't.
You can't come back from
that. It's just
it's a very strange part of the body. Yeah. If you get hit on the liver, and I don't know why the liver, but if you get left hooked, sometimes it happens. There's a reason why a lot of guys get dropped with left hooks to the body. It's,
right.
You're getting hit in the liver.
Well, I think look, we were watching and we thought, hey, too soon. But then when Sarah herself said, look, it's my own fault for not getting back up faster. They're just trying to protect me. That kind of, as far as I'm concerned, that dissipated whatever controversy was going to be there.
Was that just her being classy?
It could be a little bit of that,
because
but it was also the same referee was responsible for a late stoppage earlier in the fight.
Right.
Earlier in the night, T.J. Wahlberger was really taking a beating from Mike Pyle. It was a pretty ferocious beating, and I was calling for it to be stopped from the commentary booth. And I think it went on a good, you know, maybe 30 seconds, maybe too long. So the same referee goes into who's a great referee, Herb Dean. I love him.
He does half the fights, doesn't he?
He does a lot of the big fights. Yeah. He's one of the very best ever. So, you know, he's going in there, maybe. It's possible. You'd have to talk to him about it, and I haven't.
Right.
With a little apprehension, like, wow, I was a little slow on that one. And then maybe pull the trigger too quickly.
Right.
The problem is you can't take it back. Like, imagine if your job was huge decisions that are going to change the sport and change the future of these athletes, and you can't take it back. Yeah. There's no...
You can't go back and look in slow motion or whatever.
Yeah, and a human's body. That's a good point, too. But the shot to the liver is particularly debilitating. If folks remember when Bernard Hopkins fought Oscar De La Hoya, Bernard Hopkins hit De La Hoya, the same thing, left hook to the liver, and De La Hoya's body just crumpled.
Yeah.
Just couldn't move. He said he couldn't work his legs.
He could barely get his pantyhose on the next day. That's how bad.
How dare you, Mr. Bean?
How dare you? On Comedy Central tonight at midnight, his new special is called Live from the Tabernacle. Let's find out all about it when we return right after this on K-Rock. Joe Rogan in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show at joerogan.net. His podcast, The Joe Rogan Experience, available through that website or on iTunes. Follow him on Twitter at Joe Rogan and see him on your TV tonight live from the Tabernacle. His new Comedy Central special airs at midnight. That's in where? Is that Atlanta, Joe?
Yes, it is. Look at you, you geographic monster, you.
it's a fairly famous venue.
Yeah,
but,
it's a great place.
How do you pick where you're going to do that?
I did it already. I did it about a year and a half ago. I recorded there. I sold it on my website, and then I recently sold the Comedy Central.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm doing this one, and then I'm going to do a new one in June. So I have a thing that I'm doing with Comedy Central. I'm doing this special and another one.
One of the things you talked about in this special is, and I know you're fascinated with thinking about how we might be an alternative universe. Or what's the theory that you're always talking about, Joe, where we might be a...
Well, the idea is simulation is one of the ideas that we're
right.
stuck
Somehow
in
we're
sort
not
of
real,
simulation.
Right?
Yeah. I don't know if that was discussed on that special. Whenever I do a special, I throw away all the material once I'm done. I do it, then I try not to think about it anymore. I try to move on to the next one.
But don't you have, every once in a while, don't you have one joke where you go, that just kills, I hate
to
get rid of it.
All of them, yeah. And the other problem is, sometimes they can get better. Like, if you can take a joke, and then, like, you record it, and then you come up with a new punchline,
right.
like, ah! It's already recorded, but now it's better. It sucks.
What did you think about the news just this week that they found 700 plus new planets in our solar system? Well, in one day, they announced 700 new planets.
It is impossible to even grasp the depth of the universe. It's not possible. Like when your mind literally does not have the capacity to think about hundreds of billions of galaxies, each with hundreds of billions of stars. Hundreds of billions of solar systems with hundreds of billions of stars. Not only that, but they think that inside every galaxy is a supermassive black hole that's one half of 1% of the mass of the galaxy. And in that supermassive black hole may very well be an entire different universe with different physical properties, different laws. They think that every...
I'm going to have to go back and listen to this later and really think it through.
There's no way anybody can wrap your head around that. Yeah. So what that means is there's hundreds of billions of universes in the known galaxy, and each one of them has hundreds of billions of universes inside of it. So have you ever seen like a fractal, like an animated fractal, like the Mandelbrot set is a very famous fractal.
Speak because English, Joe.
What it is, fractals are the idea is that
for us.
As you get smaller, I'm an idiot. I just repeat things that other smart people have figured out. As you get smaller, the same patterns repeat themselves in infinity. So like if you had two hands together, as you zoomed in on the hands, you'd find two smaller hands. You zoomed in on those, two smaller hands. That we go deep and deep and deep forever. And that's the idea of the fractal nature of the universe, is that they say that there's no such thing as infinity. The universe can't be infinite. It actually has a shape to it. But the idea is that there are infinite numbers of these universes that are impossible to wrap your head around. So if you kept going like deep, deep, deep into these galaxies, you would keep finding more universes.
You would never
forever.
Find the end?
There's no end.
Wow.
There's no end. There was no beginning. There's no end. It never started. It was always here. And our ideas of starting and ending, like the birth of the universe, it's all based on our own biological shortcomings, that we will begin and we will end. And so we think that that has to apply to everything. Well, that's really asinine, and that's very limited on our part.
That's a great point.
That's longer than my thought.
Is we're such tiny little babies in terms of evolution. I mean, look, it's taken us, 8 years to just get to Pluto, to just fly by Pluto, which is in our solar system. It's taking us 8 years
no
to
longer
get there.
A planet, dude.
I didn't say planet, by the way. But you can't even imagine. That's how long it takes just to get to the edge of our own solar system. And our solar system is so tiny compared to the universe.
Not only that, we don't even know what's out there. The reason why Pluto was turned into a planetoid was because they found several Pluto-like objects in a thing called the Kuiper Belt. Kuiper Belt is a massive ring of large objects outside our solar system that at one point drops off. And the speculation is that there's something out there in deep space that's enormous. And it could be a brown dwarf star. It could be like a star that's sort of dead. It's not, you can't see it anymore. It's not, and so far away, like it's not lit up anymore.
Right.
And, you know, the other speculation from the Looney Tunes was planet Nibiru, that there was this planet out there that's on an elliptical orbit between Mars and Jupiter, and it comes around every 3,600 years, and that's where the Anunnaki live. And
sure.
The Anunnaki are the,
oh, yeah. Oh,
the Nephilim
sure.
in the Bible, and they created
I had that
human
in Nobu.
Beings.
Joe, would you have been one of those guys who applied to go on the Mars One mission? To
no
fly to Mars One way?
In hell.
No way,
what?
Really?
No. Do you imagine?
It seems like you. It seems like it's all
You're
over
crazy.
You.
You're crazy. You imagine moving into an apartment building with six people that you don't know forever. You can never leave that apartment building.
But
well,
you're on Mars.
Mars sucks, okay? It sucks. 100% sucks. You literally can't live there. Living on Mars is like living in a fracking well. Like, you can't live there. The only way to live there is you got to fake the environment. You got to make an artificial environment. And what if that breaks? What if you get hit by an asteroid or a micrometeor, which, by the way, there's no atmosphere on Mars. It's so thin.
Yeah.
The things go flying through it all the time. Bang you in the head every now and then.
So, Bean, you can take Joe's spot. I'll take Joe's spot. People
have
figured out how to live in Las Vegas. You just get air conditioning.
Listen,
look, you could live on Mars if you wanted to,
I'll explain to you something really clearly, okay? There are two planets, okay? There's Earth and there's Mars. One of them is awesome. It's filled with people. It grows fruit. There's water. The other one sucks. And they're both in space. They're both inconsequential. It's like, I want to look out this window. Well, ah, you're crazy. I'm going to hike a million miles and look out that window. You're still looking into space. You're looking in space. You're in the same neighborhood. It's the dumbest move of all time.
So you're living in the worst apartment on the block if you go to Mars,
exactly.
Right?
It's the dumbest idea ever. It's the suckiest neighborhood on the universe.
Hundreds of thousands of people signed up for that Mars
They're
One expedition.
They're stupid.
You know that.
Every single one of them's an idiot. Good riddance. Get in that dumb boat with an engine and fly through space to some place that sucks. It's dumb. You're still in space. The
majesty I don't even know you anymore,
space,
Joe. I don't even know you anymore. I thought you
it's
were
just
a guy.
Ground. There's
I
no
thought you
thing.
Were a guy with curiosity and interest in the world.
I'm a man with perspective. This is what you have to realize. The space is the same. It's just you're looking at it from a place that sucks.
Okay.
Like, you could take, you could drive in your car and go out to the desert at night, sit on the roof of your car, and just enjoy the majesty of the universe.
Right.
Or you could be wearing some stupid helmet, flying for 6 months with a bunch of a-holes you don't even like, and you get there, you're like, I gotta be with you guys forever, and you can't get home ever. You're never gonna build a rocket on your own to get back. It's not possible. There's no
what
resources
if,
there.
If
you'd
you...
have to mine for oil. You'd have to build your own rockets. You're
what
done,
if you
son.
Got to pick? What if you got to pick your the astronauts that went with you, and you got to you know you go with Beyonce, whoever you wanted.
It
you
still
got to,
sucks.
You got to load
that
it up and take them
Mars.
With you.
If I could take like the whole planet with me, it's a stupid idea. You
Kevin,
need the
would you
water,
go if it was you, if it was just you and Kate Upton?
You and Kate Upton.
Yes, I would.
Then ten years from now, you get bored with her. You'd want a break. You can't have a break.
I'd be able to build a rocket by then.
She realizes you can't leave, so she starts talking bad to you. She realizes that you're weak, so she doesn't respect you. This is terrible. It's a terrible scenario. The universe is majestic, but you don't have to be on that patch of dirt. That's like saying, you know, I can't enjoy Earth unless I live in Czechoslovakia. Well, you're an idiot. The Earth is giant. You never been to Yellowstone? Go to Yosemite. Stare at the mountains of the Rockies. Go check out the ocean. The world is huge. It's amazing. Why would you want to go to Mars where it sucks and you can't even breathe?
I am scratching your name off the list.
It's
That's
still
it. You've just,
space.
You've just shot it.
Space
just
is just gigantic.
Space
Think
sucks.
About what we said earlier. Space is the thing. It's not a part of space that you are stuck in and it sucks. Their view is the same view.
Yeah.
It's still the
still
amazing,
the
massive space.
Except why don't you might just... be able to see Earth, which is way better.
You'd be like, I'm an idiot. Why'd I leave that awesome place to come to this crap apartment?
Why don't
I can't
you just go
air?
Poop on Neil Armstrong's grave? Why don't you just go do
Listen,
that?
Listen, man,
though, okay?
Those guys came back. Do you see the idea about space
there
travel being
difference.
Permanent is ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. You're driving somewhere that sucks and you have no gas to come home. Ever.
We have to take a break. Joe Rogan for the Kevin DeBean Show. Don't miss this special on Comedy Central tonight at midnight. It's called Live from the Tabernacle. More in a moment on K-Rock. The time always goes by so fast when our friend Joe Rogan is in studio like he is this morning here on the Kevin DeBean Show. I wanted to ask you about something that you've been talking about on the podcast lately, Joe, and that's the hunting that you've been on.
Yeah.
Very few people make the connection between the food they eat and the animals that have to be killed to eat the food. But you're a guy who went out there and shot and killed and ate your own food. And I'm fascinated by that.
Yeah, I've been doing that a lot lately, actually. I've done that three times over the last year. And I've got a bunch more planned. I've been on the show.
You have like a giant freezer in your basement or something with all the meat?
Yeah, I have a giant deep freezer.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm getting more installed. My
goal
is...
What are you eating?
Well, I had some wild pig the other night. My goal is by the end of 2014 to eat nothing but game meat in my house. I want to eat only things that I've actually killed myself with a direct connection to the animal. So I'm not buying any factory farmed meat. I'm not buying any meat from some animal that was treated like a commodity, stuffed into a pen, and just in very inhumane conditions and disgusting.
Right.
For what we understand about suffering, the fact that we allow that stuff to go on, What can you do? Well, you can choose to be a vegetarian, which I don't agree with, or you can I don't mind if that's
you
your choice,
choose,
but
right?
I don't like that choice. Or you can choose to go get your own meat. So I chose to start hunting.
I wish everybody had to hunt for their own meat.
There'd be not much meat and a lot of bullets flying around.
How do you, this is a sincere question, how do you, not a professional and not always in laboratory conditions, how do you kill an animal and not have it suffer, though?
It's a very good question. You would have to have a very humane farm. I have a buddy who has a farm in Wisconsin, and he grows these cows, grass-fed
cows. But I'm talking
about
you as a hunter. How do you go out and kill a pig and not just wound it and have it run off and bleed to death?
That's a very good question. That's a very good question. Well, you have to practice a lot. That's the most important part. Like, I'm going to start archery hunting soon, but so I've been practicing with a bow and arrow for the last six
archery
months.
Archery hunting.
Look, I, life is about
so difficult on yourself.
No, it's not. It's fun.
And I'm going to do it blindfolded.
Life is about experiences,
next
man.
Next is a slingshot.
No. Look, the bows that they have now, I have a compound bow. It's 80-pound pull. It shoots arrows at 300 feet per second.
Wow.
So you're talking about something that's it's a very serious weapon. It's just more difficult to use than a gun, so you can hunt at different times. Like, you can get a rifle tag, you know, starting in November, but you can get an archery tag in September places. So you start, you get a longer reach, like especially for elk. Like elk during the rut, which is when they start bugling. I don't know if you've ever heard an elk bugle, but it's majestic. They're like a magic animal. And the only way to call them in to get close enough to shoot them with a bow and arrow is you have to make this bugle sound. So they have these calls that you call. And then this 1,200-pound animal looking for sex shows up.
Whoa.
Who's literally got trees growing out of his head, you know, and he's angry and full of, you know.
Wow, you're just a bummer for that guy.
Yeah, well, you're...
what a disappointment for the elk.
Wow,
they don't even know what happened.
He's a boner killer.
But wait,
through their body, literally.
Do you make the bugling noise with your mouth, or do you buy some sort of a duck commander thing?
Yeah, like a duck commander thing. It's like a tube and... That's what it sounds like. It's this really crazy noise. They make this really insane noise where they try to scare off other males or entice other males to fight and attract females. It's amazing, amazing stuff.
How often do you hunt?
I'm hunting every couple months now. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm going moose hunting in September in Alaska. I'm going caribou hunting in August, hopefully. And in between then, something else. And then maybe elk sometime around the winter.
But in the event of a zombie invasion or Thunderdome or whatever is coming, I want to be on Team Joe Rogan because he's going to be out there with his little bow and arrow, and he's going to be getting us some food.
That'll help. But like, considering where we live in a very strange place where lucky today we have some water, but we get very little rainfall and almost no animals. This is a terrible place to live. Like, where you would want to live, if you wanted to live a hunting lifestyle, you'd have to live in a game-rich environment, which also means predators. It also means wolves and mountain lions. There has to be animals. And the other solution to that is kill all the animals and then just keep your own in pens, like cows. Like, that's what we did with agriculture. We got tired of being chased by wolves and tired of fighting off mountain lions. For a lot of folks, like, the idea of wolves and mountain lions, I mean, you can't even hunt mountain lions in California, which is actually an ecological disaster. It can be, because mountain lions are devastating game populations. They don't get checked the way every other animal gets checked.
Right.
And we don't realize that, like, wolves, for the longest time, people had to hide from wolves. The Big Bad Wolf and the Three Little Pigs and Little Red Riding Hood, all that's based on wolves killing people, which was a huge problem. You know, in the 1400s in Paris, wolves killed 40 people. 40 people in Paris. They came into Paris and killed people.
Wow.
It's a very common famous story. And then during World War I, the Russians and the Germans had to call a truce and battle wolves. Because so many of them were getting killed by wolves. They
really?
They were in the forest.
Let's hold off fighting each other.
They had to.
Really?
They got together and they called a truce. They were getting killed left and right by wolves because they ran into what's called a super pack. And apparently this is common in Russia because the conditions are so harsh. And a matter of fact, in 2011, I think it was, they started attacking cattle. They got 100 wolves together and they formed this insane super pack. And they would show up in farms and just devastate livestock. And no one could do anything about it. I mean, could you imagine you show up, there's 100 wolves eating a horse in front of you?
Wow.
I mean, that there's nothing you can do but run. But
run,
bolt your doors, load up as many weapons as you can, and try to scare them away from eating you as well.
And
when the world ends, I'm going to be asking people, where's Rogan? Has anyone seen Rogan?
I need to find Rogan.
I'm armed to the teeth, hiding behind metal.
I love that every time Joe comes in, he gives us something else that we can now panic about that we weren't worried about before he stepped through the door. But it's always some sort of a bug, or now it's super packs of wolves.
We should panic a little bit. I think panic's important. That's why one of the reasons why weather's important. Weather's important for people in Los Angeles because we don't have to. We're spoiled. We don't accept it. We don't think about it. When a snowstorm comes, it forces people to sort of bond together. It's good for the community. It's good.
Mission accomplished. You have made our lives more miserable, Joe.
Wolves are scary, bitches. Mountain lions are no bueno.
Midnight on Comedy Central tonight. See Joe Rogan's live from the Tabernacle, and definitely check out the Joe Rogan Experience available through JoeRogan.net or on iTunes. Let's give it up for the man. Stop by today.
I love you guys. I love you guys. Always.
In the Sepulveda Basin, there's flooding, so they have closed down the streets surrounding the Sepulveda Basin and also closed PCH and Port Hueneme right at Las Posas. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous K-Rock at 7:54.
Look, let's just clean this up and make it easy for everyone. There's flooding everywhere, and everything is closed.
Right.
Just travel accordingly.
Stay home.
Just
stay home.
Get wherever you need to go with the assumption that everything is flooded and everywhere is closed.
Oh, my God, it's raining!
And then you'll be fine. Just do
but
that.
Drive as fast as you can so that you're off the road faster, right?
You ruined everything.
I think that's the common wisdom. I think that's how it works. Hey, President Garrett Walker himself, actor Michael Gill from House of Cards on Netflix, joins us right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Friday morning.
He did dirty to my man Kevin Spacey, man. Did not treat him right.
Yeah.
It's not good stuff. Spacey's going to get him.
He is. He always does.
Speaking of politics and actors, interesting turn of events when actor Seth Rogen addressed a U.S. Senate subcommittee on Wednesday about Alzheimer's disease.
That was weird.
It was weird.
It was a great speech, though.
It was, but it's just weird seeing him in front of the Senate committee.
Yeah.
We're all for it, and he did a great job, and it's a cause that's near and dear to his heart. His mother-in-law suffered with the disease, and it's a horrible, hideous disease, and I think it was important for him to talk to our government to try to get funding increased into research and perhaps even a cure for Alzheimer's. What was disappointing for Seth, however, was that only 2 of the 18 committee members showed up for his testimony.
Aw.
Yeah.
Worse than that, there were several others who were there who met Seth, got a photo with Seth, and then left before he gave his talk. Really ticked him off, I think.
Wow. That sucks.
Senator Mark Kirk tweeted a picture of himself with Rogan, writing, "Thanks to Seth Rogan for speaking out about efforts to end Alzheimer's. Retweet if you know someone affected by Alzheimer's." Seth tweeted back, "Senator Kirk, pleasure meeting you. Why did you leave before my speech? Just curious."
For him.
Called him on it.
He actually called him out on it.
I love it.
Senator Kirk later said, "Oh, I had another meeting I had to get to."
Oh,
so I stuck around for the photo op, and then I had to get her out to another meeting.
Sure. Something important that the government cares about. That's not your cause.
2 senators were present for Rogan's plea for increased federal funding, Jerry Moran of Kansas and Tom Harkin of Iowa. Always like Tom Harkin.
What a bummer to go up there and think this is your chance to try
to
make a difference.
Impact.
Right.
The Senate Appropriations Committee responded to Seth Rogan's tweet with a classic tweet of their own. It reads, "Seth Rogan, understand your frustration and respect your passion. It's kind of like how we feel when elections are held and many people stay at home."
Yeah.
They've got kind of a point.
Sort of.
You're involved or you're not, right? I guess apathy is a problem that knows
But once you're elected, then that's your job.
Yeah, you're right.
As well.
You're right. But isn't democracy all of our jobs, Kevin?
I don't know what that means.
Okay. Just very proud of my home city of Philadelphia, by the way, today.
Why?
Because there's a big story broke today that a female police officer in Philadelphia is under fire in investigation after they found out that she was a phone sex worker.
They could do both.
That's what I feel.
Right?
I don't see why they're coming down on her so hard.
Because no one knows who she is for real on the sex line, right?
Right. That's what I'm saying. But they're upset because she's a female cop and also a phone sex worker.
Yeah. Well,
the combination of those two things, by the way, has given me an erection that will never go away. So I don't know why, but the idea of a cop, a female cop, also talking nasty to me is just endlessly entertaining.
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia, period. I've been saying that my whole life. I'll be saying it till the day I die. Philadelphia.
They became suspicious when she realized when they realized she had written 400 tickets to men for being bad, bad boys who need spankings. So that was the tip-off right there, I think.
Philadelphia, hello.
Hello, Philadelphia. Today's celebrity birthdays, comedian Gilbert Gottfried.
Oh, I came in to celebrate my birthday. Oh, where's my cake? I would like cake, and eating it would be good. Where's a candle? I would blow it.
Well, Ralph has to do the whole face, too. You can't do the voice without doing the face. That's funny.
He is 59 years old today. Actor John Turturro is 57. Ray Don Chong is 53 years old.
Now, she is Tommy Chong's daughter for reals, right?
That's right. Robert Sean Leonard is 45 years old today. You know him as Wilson from House and also from his spectacular debut in Dead Poets Society. Pat Monahan of Train is 45. Ellie Larder is 38. Jake Bugg turns 20, and Cindy Wilson of the B-52s.
Death to America and Buttershaws.
No, I don't.
Don't boil me.
No.
I'm still alive.
No, that's
Iraq Lobster.
That's a... Wait, what? Sing it if you know it.
Iraq Lobster?
No, it's not Iraq. It's not Iraq Lobster. Rock
what
lobster
happened there?
That was Peter Griffin singing Iraq Lobster.
Oh, we got confused. Sorry, Ralph.
Very different song.
Our bad.
Cindy Wilson is 57 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Actor Chloe Sevigny on the program later on this morning. Also, our old friend Jimmy Kimmel, who, by the way, I figured once he became a big-time TV star, Kevin, would not have time for the little people anymore. But he still carves out a few minutes here and there for Kevin and Bean.
That's Jim.
That's our boy, Jim. Yeah. First, though, ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States of America. Give me a little House of Cards here. We're talking about President Garrett Walker. House of Cards on Netflix Season 2 is now streaming. I should say the award-winning House of Cards. Let's welcome actor Michael Gill. He plays the President to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Michael, how are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Well, it's such a thrill to talk to you, but you got to help me out with something here. And that is that because House of Cards is the way it is with all 13 episodes dropped at one time, you never know where anybody is in the season. How do you ever talk to people about what's going on the show?
You have a special little medal that you put on your lapel, and you can identify each other.
I see.
The ones who have actually, you know, downloaded and mainlined the first 13.
So if you've only seen four, you wear a little four, and then people know not to spoil it for you.
isn't that kind of a great idea?
I like
numbers on your lapel.
I like it.
It is. It's just a weird...
sort of like instead of an upside-down flag, you where the president puts it, you put the number.
Exactly.
That's a great idea. Like it. Because it's not like any other show that you might be watching where, you know, you could talk about last week's episode. I mean, because there are people who are going to be diving into it for the first time this weekend. There are people like me who watched all of season two in that first week. So what do?
It's tough. And this is the model that actually, you know, Netflix has brought forth. It's really whatever goes, you can watch it any way you like. And you have, that's one thing, the spoiler alerts and stuff. You have to really sort of announce yourself. It was sort of like that with 24 actually, because people would DVR 24 for weeks. And not watch it just to be able to get a run at a couple of episodes without having to just be left after 1 hour.
Right, so you could watch two or three in a row.
Yeah. And so again, those were real spoilers for people when they talk about it. So, you know, we're starting to get used to this idea and the way that people watch. And I think, you know, give it a little more time and people will actually learn to say, have you watched those episodes yet before I say anything?
Exactly. I can't believe that Kevin Spacey's character dies in episode 9. For
hey, wait exactly. a minute, Kevin. What? Wait huh? a minute.
What?
It's like Thelma and Louise. I can't believe they went off the cliff.
Hey, spoiler alert, Michael. Let's talk about playing the President of the United States. Now, you seem to be the kind of actor, and maybe it's because of your background with the Royal Academy of Arts in London and Juilliard and everything. For some reason, they like to put you in suits. You're always playing a lawyer, guy mm-hmm, like that. Mm-hmm. You're always playing a smart guy. But playing the President, there's such a history of great actors playing the President. Tell me how you approached it.
Well, what was very, very helpful to me first is being cast as almost an anonymous, pretty much an anonymous person. That had a lot going for me because, you know, I think it's difficult for very exposed and sort of known actors to then be seen as this character that's so mysterious in a way that holds on to so many secrets and burdens. We just, you know, to see these people, we just bring our characters and famous stars along with every part they do. So that was helpful to me. And also, what's always helpful in a position like this is having your actors play you president. There's just a certain amount you can do. You cannot play power. You cannot play authority. You have to be cast. You know, I was cast in this role assuming that David Fincher and Kevin Spacey and Bill Willimon had enough feeling about my presence that was authoritative and strong and intelligent. And so then you just have to make very strong choices as a character in the scene. But then, you know, you've got the Oval Office.
Right. That helps.
That helps.
Yeah.
That helps. The desk, the Resolute desk, everything. Meetings with people where they actually empower you as president. If they don't do that, you are really screwed.
What about about walking the line between being leader of the free world and being strong and decisive and still playing a guy that can be sort of manipulated by Kevin Spacey's character?
Right. Well, the interesting thing, as if you're asking Michael, that's one thing. If you're asking President Walker, he does not know he's being manipulated at all.
Right.
He hasn't. Right. So as the actor, I have to really move away from that, except in the middle of a scene where I'm with Kevin. Suddenly he turns around and looks in the camera and starts talking, and I'm like, dude, I'm right here.
Who are you talking to?
I actually heard that.
I'm glad you brought that up, Michael. This is the voice of actor Michael Gale here on the Kevin Abeen Show. He's President Garrett Walker on House of Cards, streaming through Netflix right now, because we actually pulled a clip, because I think this will be fun for people maybe who haven't even seen House of Cards. This fourth wall that Kevin Spacey's character Frank Underwood, who is a senator as the series begins, I'll say no more than that, but he talks to the audience and it is kind of fun. Listen to this clip. This is you guys in the Oval Office.
Thank you, Raymond.
Thank you, Garrett.
Do you hear how he still uses the president's given name and that Walker doesn't flinch at the lack of respect it implies?
Sir, forgive me if this isn't the case, but you seem a bit hesitant.
Why do you say that?
Well, you've raised a good point about public perception. I don't want you to think that I'm dismissing your concerns casually.
It's a concern for you, too?
There is some insight into what Kathy brought up.
Backpedaling is weakness.
He owns you, Michael.
Yeah, well, that's your perspective.
Hey, in our remaining minute, could you tell us a little bit about what it's like just as an actor to go into work every day and go toe-to-toe with somebody as great as Kevin Spacey?
Well, first of all, you have to pinch yourself. Listen, not only that, my wife, Jane Atkinson, is on the show as well. So she plays my Secretary of State, and toe-to-toe with her prepared me to go toe-to-toe with somebody like Kevin.
With anyone.
So this guy is the highest. He's the deal. I mean, the bar is so high, and it's exciting to meet him there, to work with him, to have fun with him. He's just an all around champ, and I have to say, I'm just so thrilled, and I feel so fortunate. He was really the best sort of fellow actor you could possibly imagine. So I just had a great, great time.
And what about David Fincher?
Oh, my God, he's amazing. I mean, he, you know, although he only did the first two episodes of the first season, his eyes and ears are on this thing all the time. And, you know, he has a very special way of working and directing. He can do take after take after take until really you just stop acting and you just do, you know, you are. And he will not quit until he's doing that. And then he won't quit until the background is right.
Right.
So he's really good. He's the thing. And I'm the kind of actor that actually really loves that.
Oh, wow. Well, look, casting Kevin Spacey is what put House of Cards on the radar of a lot of people, because you go, whoa, this is a fantastic. What's he doing over here on this Netflix thing? What's this all about? And I think that really brought a lot of eyes in. But then once you get in there, and Robin Wright is, I mean, there's a reason she's won awards for her portrayal as his wife. She's incredible on the show. Obviously, Kate Mara is great. Gerald McCraney is great. You're terrific on the show. So it really is. It's a great show. It's so worth getting Netflix for if you don't already have it. And if you do, why the hell aren't you watching House of Cards? It's streaming exclusively on Netflix. Michael Gill, thanks so much for joining us on the Kevin Abeen Show. We enjoyed it, sir.
Guys, my pleasure.
Thank you.
Put the magazine down, Kevin. You're on the air. You don't need to always have the magazine with you.
Who's to say I can multitask?
But you, you've had your nose in the Sports Illustrated magazine for like 2 weeks.
Well, it's chock full of goodness.
The swimsuit issue of Sports Illustrated is that it's the 50th anniversary issue, and there's a lot of good stuff in it. But the one that everybody is talking about is the beautiful Kate Upton, who's back. By the way, making her third appearance on the cover. And she does this video where she goes up into one of those planes where you get to float weightlessly, the zero gravity planes. And I guess you can only stay up for 30 seconds at a time. So they kept having to go up like 10, 12, 13 times. He had to go up to shoot all the video necessary for this Sports Illustrated thing.
30 seconds at a time. That's weird.
That's all you can get, right? Yeah, when you're up there. And we were asking Dave, we're like, imagine being on the crew. Like, one day you're, you know, space and science guy. The next day you're fluffing Kate Upton's boobs for this photo shoot. What must that be like to be
working?
A tiny
bikini, and she's up
there. Yeah, it's insane video. We put it up in the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup, I think, for last week. If you have not yet seen the video, you should check it out. So we asked Dave if you could find us somebody that we could talk to who's with this zero gravity plane. And I believe he got us a representative on the phone right now to talk about what it's like working with Sports Illustrated and Kate Upton. Hello there, sir.
Hi, I'm Buzz.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Former astronaut, no. Buzz Aldrin?
Yeah, I'm Buzz. How you doing?
Buzz, what do you have to do with the zero gravity plane in Kate Upton?
My company.
Oh. Oh, yeah. I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah, I invite girls to come on the plane and float in zero gravity.
But isn't
everything floats in zero gravity?
Oh,
even
okay, Buzz.
Liquid.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Buzz.
Yeah, I'm Buzz.
We saw how creepy you were when you were on Dancing with the Stars, and you were hitting on your dancer the partner there. But I thought
she's
that when
a
it,
real cutie, that girl.
That's right. What you said, right?
Yeah,
but I thought when you're in the science arena, like with this, with the zero G plane, I thought it would just be strictly business.
Silence.
No, science, Buzz.
Yeah,
science.
That's what I said. Silence.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm the creepy one. Before you went on the phone, you said some guy's fluffing up Kate Upton's boobs.
Well,
you know, that's not how it works, right? They're not pillows. They're flesh.
No, but I saw in the video.
They're flesh pillows.
They brought the zipper down on her little swimsuit there, and then they just kind of pushed the boobs up in the suit so that they would look right. Now, there was a guy whose job it was to do that on the photo shoot.
That's my job.
That was your job? Those are your hands.
I'm
okay.
Buzz.
You are Buzz,
I work the zippers. All the zippers, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, like this one on my jumpsuit.
Right.
Okay, Buzz,
right.
That's not.
Silence!
You're not. Science, actually. You're like 85 years old. At some point, aren't you going to stop being a horn dog?
No, it else works better in no gravity?
What?
Viagra. Yeah, you got the two for one right there.
Boy. Okay, Buzz.
How much time did you spend with Kate Upton?
Ground control. We have a mission launched.
Okay.
Yeah, look at my rocket.
Okay.
Yeah,
this is just
about
creepy.
To enter the orbit of Uranus.
Okay. Nope. Nope. One way to do it, I guess. That's a choice. It's an option. Hey, Sunday night, it's the Oscars, the Academy Awards, don't you know, on ABC. And then following the show at 10 p.m. is Jimmy Kimmel Live after the Oscars. And Jimmy joins us on the phone on the Kevin DeBeach Show right now. Mr. Kimmel, welcome, sir.
Hold on. Let me get him. Oh, here he is.
Jimmy, that's you.
Oh, sorry. I like to pretend I have an assistant at the house.
So before we get to the Oscar special, two orders of business here. First of all, congratulations. You are still fertile.
Yeah, that's right. I told you I was fertile, Bean, and I told you I could get everyone on that farm knocked up if I needed to, but you don't listen to me.
He has been saying that a lot.
You know, you don't have to give every woman a baby that wants one. You're allowed to say no. You know that, right, Jimmy?
Yeah, I know you're allowed to, but, I decided to grant Molly this very special gift.
Oh, very nice of you.
It's so weird to think about, and obviously this is something you've been thinking about, having kids that are more than 20 years apart. I mean, usually it's an oops baby when that happens, but in your case, it's all planned out.
Yeah, well, my first kids I had very, very young, and I think it would be weird for our, your listeners now to know that,
that I was that I had kids when I was Jimmy the sports guy.
Yeah.
I just really never mentioned it. But yeah, no, it'll be fine, I'm sure. I'll be like Larry King sitting sadly in a restaurant while blonde-headed children run around me at the Palm, and I just try to eat my food.
And everybody else is super annoyed with you because you're not controlling your kids.
Yeah, but they also feel bad enough for me that they won't say anything.
you've seen those pictures of Larry when he goes to his kids' like Little League games. He's like 80, and his kids are out there. They're like 9, and they're playing ball. It's so funny.
Here's the thing. If your dad can't properly wear a baseball cap...
Right.
You know, where, you know, the older guys will just, it's as if it floated down and landed on their head instead of, that's when you know you're too old to have kids.
Speaking of kids, the other thing I wanted to mention, and then we'll talk Oscars, is you are part of a fantastic charity thing that you just got the whole internet crying right along with you. You had Supermax, a little 7-year-old with brain cancer, on your show the other day, and you were auctioning off that suit that you were wearing during that part of the Jimmy Kimmel Live show the other night, which is made out of something called looms, which is a little, like, colorful pieces of cloth. And it's up on eBay, and I want to remind people to please go and check that out. You can search for Jimmy Kimmel or Suit of the Loom, and the proceeds are going where, Jim? Do you remember?
To Project Max Love Project. It will all go to his foundation there. And it's, you know, you can see it online. It's really a heartbreaking,
emotional
thing. Yeah, for sure.
I know that you're auctioning that jacket off, but I hope that you have a suit off. But I hope that you have people working on another one because you really look good in that.
It would be great to wear to like Burning Man or something.
Yes, it would. It was so. I mean, look, it must have felt weird for you to cry on TV. Like that's the last thing in the world you ever expect to do. But how could you not in that situation like that, right?
Yeah, it's weird. You know, it's just like it's embarrassing. You know, you're on television, but I couldn't help it. What are you going to
do? Well, you're a human. Yeah. No crying Sunday
Thank
night.
Thank you
Oscar.
For finally admitting that.
That you're a human?
Yeah. Jimmy's Oscar special this year only includes Oscar host Ellen DeGeneres, Meryl Streep, Tom Hanks, Martin Scorsese, Chris Hemsworth, Liam Hemsworth, Christoph Waltz, Ben Kingsley, Mandy Patinkin, Abby Cornish, Barkhad Abdi from Captain Phillips movie.
I am the captain now.
He might steal the whole show, actually.
Really?
Yeah. Good.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Catherine Zeta-Jones, Seth Rogen, Morgan Freeman, Andy Garcia. It sounds like I'm just naming everyone in show business. They're all going to be on your special this weekend?
Just read IMDb and all of those people will be on our special this weekend.
It's got to be a little more difficult now, though, because before, when you first came out with them, they blew people's minds.
Yeah.
But now they're thinking, all right, what's Jimmy going to do to blow our minds? That's a lot more pressure.
It's more pressure for us to write this stuff, but... I know, it always seems to work out. You know what it's like when we did those Christmas albums, you know, every year. It's like, oh, what are we going to do now? We got all these great people. It's like the same little hellish prison that I've built for myself. But
only on a bigger stage.
I feel very confident in what we have this year, and it actually becomes easier to get people because they call us now.
Is that right?
If we're doing something. So, yeah. And sometimes we have to write extra things to work some of these people in because we don't want to say no to them.
That's awesome.
Right. And Kevin Spacey, he's going to be your guest that night. He's actually going to be there live on Sunday after the Oscars, right?
He will be there live, and he's participating in our comedy bit as well. So,
anything else you can tell us about your comedy bit? I forgot the names, but...
Well, I'll tell you that...
What are you doing in it?
I can't really say. It'll
okay.
ruin it.
All right.
It's you'll instantly get it, and I think you'll like it.
Okay. All right.
Hey, I don't know if you saw Kevin's tweet. I just remembered this, Jimmy. We were talking about your baby a few minutes ago. Did you see Kevin's tweet suggesting, and I don't want to spoil it for you, that your baby might actually be Matt Damon's?
No, I did not.
Wouldn't that be the ultimate, like, checkmate? Checkmate. I am your father of your baby.
Oh, my God. You know what? Let's forget we had this conversation, and we can go back and hopefully everyone listening forget we said this because that's a great bit of idea.
Isn't it? I mean, can you just imagine?
No, hold on. It's a better real life thing than it is a bit.
Molly is in on it because Molly is an awesome sense of humor, and you're there, and there's a video of you meeting your child for the first time, and she looks at you on the video and says, Jimmy, it's Matt's baby. It would be the greatest burn in the history of Hollywood.
It really would. I would sit, when I filed the divorce papers, I'd have my attorney include, with the utmost respect for this incredible prank.
But as a prankster, I think you would be so impressed by the thought that went into that that you would say, ah, what the hell, let's just go with it.
I would have to just raise it. Well, yeah, I mean, really, you could wind up giving birth to the most diabolical child in the history of man.
All right, the Academy Awards are Sunday night, 10 o'clock, Jimmy Kimmel Live after the Oscars. Can't wait for that. It does suck at this stage in your life that you still have to work weekends, Jimmy, but congratulations on the show, and we're looking forward to seeing you on Sunday night. Thanks for the time, man.
Thanks, fellas.
Thank you.
You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:52.
Actress Chloe Sevigny joins us right after the top of the hour, and then from the Los Angeles Times, we'll talk to Glenn Whip all about the Academy Awards happening Sunday night. Rob is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Well, it was a fatwa against Katy Perry.
What?
Big trouble.
What?
Big trouble.
I don't like the sound of that.
She's in big trouble. She has made some Muslims very angry. BBC News is reporting that the video for her new single, Dark Horse, is dropped and all. It is on.
What's on?
Katy plays an evil Egyptian queen back in ancient Egypt. Like Cleopatra?
Right.
Only she plays Katy Patra.
Okay.
See what she's done there?
Right.
She took part of her name and added Patra.
Right.
Like if
right.
you were going to be, if you were going to pretend you were the queen in Egypt, Kevin, you'd say, I'm Kevin Patra.
Well, yeah, I think I understand.
Or Lisa would say, I'm Lisa Patra.
I think why would that upset the Muslims?
Well, wait, just hold your water, son. She plays an evil Egyptian queen who magically vaporizes one of the male characters in the video who is wearing a pendant that has the Arabic word for God on it.
Okay.
She destroyed a Muslim.
But she's Katy Patra, right?
Yes.
Okay.
You don't get it, man.
No, I get it.
So far, 60,000 people from all over the world have signed a petition to have the video removed from all television and internet.
Is that how it works?
Yes, you can just vote.
That's weird.
You can vote now on what.
Does she also make out with Muhammad in the video?
You said it, man, not me.
Yeah, man.
That's Bean at krock.com.
That's right, that's Bean.
I'll give you his address. Just email me, Ralph@krock.com.
Can't believe you'd say that.
Take him out. Get some drones or something. Do whatever you need to do. The video has been seen by more than 34 million people since it premiered on February the 20th. So a lot of people are watching, and a lot of people are very upset, and it is going down. Here's the thing. You think this kind of BS works?
What do you mean, does it work?
Here's an update.
All right.
As of last night, the Dark Horse video has been edited. And that image is no longer found in the video.
Is that right?
How about that? So, make a little noise. Do a little dance. Get down tonight.
That famous Cool in the Gang song, if I recall correctly.
Yeah. You know who's happy?
Omar North Tower.
He is. He's very happy. But now he's got to take his shoe bombs off. What are we going to do? Put them back in the closet. And they're hard to get off. They're easy to get on. They're hard
sure.
to get off.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to take off a ticking shoe. Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher reportedly engaged. We knew their relationship was hot and heavy for some time now. It looks like the two will be happily ever after. So congratulations to those guys. Isn't it wild that they co-starred together for so long on yep. That 70s Show and then went their separate ways, had many well-publicized relationships, and yep. Now they've found their way back to each other. It's kind of romantic.
Beautiful.
It is. It's kind of sweet. Speaking of sweet, Allison Williams from HBO's Girls is also headed to the altar. A representative for the actress has confirmed that she is engaged to Ricky Van Veen. Who sounds like he should be a NASCAR driver. But
Ricky Van Veen.
No, he is actually the co-founder of CollegeHumor.com.
Oh.
So congratulations to those crazy kids.
You don't watch Girls, right, Ralph?
No, I do not, sir.
You'd be hard-pressed to find a more annoying or worthless character on television than Marnie on that show.
She really is.
She's a zero, man. She's got nothing going
on. She's annoying on that show?
Yeah.
Yes.
Amongst that crowd?
Yeah.
Yes.
She stands out as annoying?
Yes.
I can only imagine. There must be no device invented that can measure her level of annoying.
I mean, that's no at all disrespect to Allison Williams. She's a fine actress. She's very good on the show, but her character is just, you just want her to get hit by a bus every episode. All she does is whine and complain about everything.
Good news, One Direction fans. They are launching their second grapefruit-based fragrance.
Woo!
I knew you'd be happy, Kevin. Did you like the one I got you for Christmas?
Oh, my God. I drank it.
You're not supposed to drink it. It's a fragrance.
Smells like donkey ass.
No, it doesn't. It smells like grapefruits.
Oh.
And it was massively popular. It was called Our Moment was the first fragrance that was based on grapefruit that was released. The new one's called That Moment.
Oh, my God.
So Our Moment, now That Moment.
How do they do it?
This fragrance smells like pink grapefruit, jasmine, green apple, violet, and, of course, donkey ass.
Smells like donkey
ass.
What
the hell is that smell?
Why
is... Oh, my God, it's One Direction. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm peeing in my pants. I am getting all over myself.
Yeah.
It is One Direction.
Also smells like beer mug wet himself. Ugh. Apparently, that's the new fragrance.
Do you smell it?
Today's celebrity birthdays. Comedian Gilbert Gottfried is 59 years old today.
Oh, and so I'm celebrating. I go and I get a balloon. And I put it, I tie it to my wrist so it doesn't fly away. And I go to the zoo and taunt the alligators.
The weird birthday celebration.
It's not normal.
John Turturro is 57 years old today. Ray Dong Chong is also celebrating a birthday today. She's 53. Robert Sean Leonard of House fame is 45. I get sad every time I think of House now.
Yeah.
Because not only because it's not on, it was one of my favorite shows ever, but the finale was so sad.
Yeah.
The two buddies go off to spend the last 6 months of House's life together. That's all they're going to do. They're just going to hang out and be friends, and then one of them gets to watch the other guy die.
Is that how it ended? Did House die?
He doesn't die.
He doesn't,
show,
but he's but about to.
He quits his job and fakes his own death and leaves with Wilson so they can go off and spend the final months of friendship together. Before
wow,
he dies.
I had already forgotten that.
Spooning.
They don't spoon.
Oh.
They fork. Pat Monahan of Train is 45 years old. Ali Larter is 38. Jake Bugg, he's 20. You have any Jake Bugg music, Bean? You have that Jake Bugg song that was so popular? We all love that Jake Bugg song.
I might have a little bit of a
he's a terrific artist.
Jake
Bugg. Here we go. Here's Jake Bugg, the guy you're talking about. This kid's only 20, by the way, and listen to what he sounds like.
That's not...
I don't think that's it.
Sure is. Can't beat him, join him. That's what I heard. This is Jake Bugg also.
Occasional cover.
Yeah, he's very talented. Those aren't his hands. Those aren't his hands he's using.
His butt.
He drank a bottle of One Direction grapefruit fragrance. Next thing you knew, this came out.
Immensely talented for 20.
He's got a B-flat colon, which is very rare. In the musical world. The kid's blessed. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes after 9 o'clock. It's awfully tough to keep track of all the new TV shows that are debuting these days. You know, there used to be a time when all the shows would come on at once.
Sure.
And you'd get easy to keep track of it. Now it's just like, it seems like every couple of weeks there's something new. So we're doing our best to point out the ones that people are saying great things about. One of those is called Those Who Kill. It's on the A&E Network. And the series premiere is this Monday night, March 3rd, again on A&E. We are very excited to welcome the star of the show, Chloe Sevigny, joins us on the phone on the Kevin Bean Show right now. Hi, Chloe. How are you?
Hi, Kevin. Bean.
Well, we're very excited to have...
Hey, boys.
Hi, boys.
That's
girl.
What I say. Hello.
Thank you for that charming introduction. We are very excited to have a little serial killer action back on our TV. I feel like it's been too long.
Oh,
and
sure.
What is it about these shows from Denmark, like The Killing, and now your show, Those Who Kill? Why do they like to kill so much? Why do they like serial killers so much in Denmark?
I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't know what they're doing over there in Scandinavia, but, you know. Our show doesn't really follow the show from Denmark. You know, it's more just the premise. We don't have the same killings. We don't have the same, you know. But, yeah, they love a blonde, like, detective over there.
Right,
for those of
right.
For those of us not aware of that story, tell us what the series is about.
Well, I feel like our series is a little more character-driven. That something happened to my character when she was younger. Her brother and her... had a crime happen to them, and she's out to avenge the death of her brother. So our show, I think, is more about the mystery of what happened to my brother and me and kind of how she deals with that.
And your character is a homicide detective, right?
She is. Mm-hmm. She is.
Have you ever played a cop before, Chloe?
This is my first time playing a cop. I studied the first season of NYPD Blue Dennis Franz's character in that show. I love so much. I thought I was trying to emulate him a bit on this.
That's funny.
How about that?
You wouldn't actually go to the police.
Pardon?
You wouldn't actually go to the police for the research. You went to NYPD Blue.
Yeah, you know, it helps.
All right.
how are you handling a gun?
I'm terrible at handling a gun. I'm really frightened by them.
Good
I
to hear.
I can't stand them. But you know what's even more difficult is the handcuffs.
Ah.
Oh, my God. Do you hear that rain? Are we all in Los Angeles?
We are, yes.
Yes. Wow. It's really coming down where you are. Where are you, Chloe?
I have Century City. So
you're going to... Wow.
I don't know. I'm from New York, so I'm a little confused always.
You're going to die.
Yeah. I don't know how much time... You probably have spent a lot of time in Los Angeles over the years, but this is considered apocalyptic. I mean, this is about as bad as it ever gets in Southern California to have this much rain at one time. This is crazy times.
Well, we need it. I hope it stays like this for a couple weeks, don't we?
Yeah.
And it's funny. No matter how much it rains, I mean, you'll walk outside today and there'll be 3 inches on the ground. You could turn on the TV and there'll be some, you know, jackass on the TV going, but this isn't going to help the drought situation. Doesn't matter how much rain you get. They say it never helps.
Oh, really?
Are you in town because of the Academy Awards? Are you going Sunday?
No, I'm out here. We had our premiere the other night for Those Who Kill, and doing some press and trying to get the word out there. And, you know, I hope people will tune in to get spooked out.
A&E is an interesting choice for a network for a show. I mean, do they have a lot of programming like this?
Well, they have Bates Motel.
Love.
Oh, right. We love that show.
We're going to piggyback on them. We premiere at 10 o'clock on Monday, and we'll be right after Bates Motel. And we feel like we'll hopefully have a similar audience. People that are
great.
Will tune into ours, and hopefully they'll like
that. That is a fantastic setup for you. We love that show. I didn't even realize that was coming back already on Monday. So now I got myself a 1-2 punch for Monday. That's
there
awesome.
You go.
You have had such a fascinating career for so long. There is literally no rhyme or reason to the types of roles you say yes to, is there, Chloe?
Well, I think so. I mean, you know, I like to keep it eclectic. I like to keep it weird. That's my motto, keep it weird.
Keep it weird?
Yeah.
But I mean, not very many people would go on Mindy and also be on American Horror Story. You know what I mean? They would do Louie and also do Those Who Kill. I mean, I guess you just respond to the printed page. If you like a script, you're in, right?
I do. And the other people involved, I'm a huge fan of Louis C.K. I think his comedy is so great, so smart, so subversive. And I'm a huge fan of Mindy, just that she has her own show and she's on there and the writers are acting and writing at the same time and doing, you know, wearing all these different hats. I think, you know, she's such a powerful, amazing woman, you know. So it's like each project has its different appeal for me.
Do you keep in touch at all with your big love sisters?
I do. Jean Triplehorn and I are very close, and we have been trading cop stories because she's on Criminal Minds right now.
So nah.
We call to complain about all this kind of jargon that we have to spew and figure out how we can spin it.
Well, what's the cop language like for you? Is it difficult?
It's really hard, actually. I thought it was going to be easy, which is part of the reason why I watched NYPD Blue, to learn how to make it kind of more natural, you know, just kind of immerse yourself in that kind of vernacular. And to own those words, like the first time I had to yell, Pittsburgh Police, show me your hands, I started cracking up. I was like, this sounds ridiculous. I sound like an idiot. You really have to kind of drill those things, that kind of language that those cops really own, you know, in order to make it sound real.
Right.
Yeah.
We are talking to actress Chloe Sevigny here on the Kevin DeBeach Show, talking about the show on A&E, coming on after Bates Motel this Monday night. It's called Those Who Kill. How, every once in a while we'll talk to an actor who's on a show like this that's real dark, and it's tough for them to turn it off at the end of the day when you deal with such grisly material sometimes. Any problems with you for that?
You know what I did? We were in Pittsburgh, and I think it's really important to infiltrate with the locals and, like, have a life outside of work.
Right.
I met a bunch of kids that lived up there that were in bands and doing other stuff and, you know, go out and have a tequila, have a nice meal, go to the movies, just to have, like, a life outside of work so you can walk away, I think is really important and helps a lot.
It's funny. You don't hear that a lot from people who are, you know, shooting the show to actively go out and have an outside life.
Yes. I think that's really a must.
Well, the reviews have been just terrific on this show, particularly your part. So we're very excited to check it out. Bates Motel and then Those Who Kill is going to be Monday night on A&E. So nice to have you on the program today, Chloe. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much. Good luck.
Don't drown.
Thank you. Yeah, don't stay alive. And you know.
Seriously?
Yeah.
What are you eating?
But how come you have to say seriously, what are you eating? You could have just started.
Why couldn't you just time it so that you weren't eating when the song ended?
I didn't realize.
So we could do professional things like do our job.
But you could come out and say the station and everything and no one would have known.
Swallow.
That's what he said.
Hey, Friday morning at the Kevin and Bean Show, it's Academy Awards weekend. Here's my whole thing. I guess we love competitions and we want to have winners and we want to have losers. But when you really stop and think about it, why do we have to decide whether gravity is better, whatever that means, than 12 Years a Slave? Why can't they both be awesome?
Says the guy who has to make a list.
Good point,
you know what I'm
Kevin.
Saying? I mean, there's something. I'm just saying it's kind of the whole system of awarding prizes for art is a little bit inherently flawed. Am I crazy for thinking that?
No, I understand what you're saying.
No, because
it's just it's weird. Like, it doesn't make 12 Years a Slave any worse a movie because Gravity wins the Oscar and vice versa, or whoever ends up winning, American Hustle, whatever it happens to be. But what do we know? We're just chuckleheads on the radio. Let's find out a man who spends his life thinking about these weighty issues. He is Glenn Whip. He is a Los Angeles Times writer covering movies and televisions for the paper and LATimes.com. Hi, Glenn. Welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, how are you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
I apologize. You had to hear Kevin eating, by the way.
What?
I'm sorry. Say that again?
You're not weird. It is flawed. How do you? They're two very different movies, 12 Years a Slave, Gravity. How do you pick?
Yeah.
They're great in both each different ways.
And why should one of them feel like a loser when they've done everything right to make it a great experience for the viewer?
Because they won't have the Oscar in their hands.
Yeah,
that's right.
Uh-huh.
This seems to me, in most categories and probably all the acting categories, a pretty boring lead up to the Academy Awards because there seems to be such a consensus in all those awards. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we spend months just kind of parsing over all these things, and the Oscars are coming a week later this year because they pushed them back because of the Olympics. So you've had all these other award shows. Doesn't it feel like we've already had the Oscars by now?
Sort of does, yeah.
Yes, it does. And, I mean, it'll be nice, and it's, you know, a crowning achievement for Jared Leto or Matthew McConaughey or Cate Blanchett, whoever, you know, if they all end up winning. But you also feel like, well, I saw that coming, you know?
We've seen their speeches before and, you know, at the SAG Awards or Golden Globes. So, yeah, you know, you're hoping, I guess, for a surprise or two.
Are there going to be any surprises Sunday night? You're just guessing as well as us, but you have more information.
Well, I mean, the suspense will come with Best Picture because nobody really knows for sure who's going to win that. It could be 12 Years a Slave, a lot of support for that. Obviously very important subject matter, done very well. And then there's Gravity, a movie that everyone seems to like and a lot of people seem to love, too. So, no, and, you know, American Hustle could sneak in. So there's going to be suspense for that last envelope leading up to it. I don't know.
Does popularity and or money, you know, how much money a movie makes, does that play into the judges at all?
Money in the sense that, you know, studios spend money on the campaign.
No, I mean the amount of money that a movie makes, right?
I don't know. Not really. You know, I mean, there have been movies like Hurt Locker that have won the Best Picture Oscar and, you know, made less than $20 million at the box office.
Right.
So,
is it the opposite? If they see a movie that makes $400 million, do they want to say, it's too mainstream?
Yeah, generally that's the way it works. Gravity is kind of the exception to that. Avatar got nominated, you know, the year that Hurt Locker won, and there was that sort of David versus Goliath thing with that race.
Right.
But, you know, in the end, it was more people felt Hurt Locker was a better film.
It's interesting you say that because Avatar was a movie that felt like it moved motion picture making forward, and Gravity feels like that to me as well. I mean, I kind of like that about both of those pictures, is they are the very best that can be done in terms of pushing the envelope.
I agree, and I think that's definitely why Alfonso Cuarón, the director of Gravity, is going to win the directing Oscar. Because there's just that feeling that, wow, he really advanced filmmaking with this movie, you know, and in a way that nobody had seen a movie like this. It was the first time since Avatar that you went to a movie and put on those 3D glasses and it felt like there was a reason you were putting them on.
Yeah,
right.
Do you think the movie will win as well or no?
You know, it's weird the way the Best Picture is voted voted on. Academy members rank the movies from 1 to 9. And then, so these rankings are important. A movie that is ranked highly on a lot of ballots in that 1, 2, and 3 spot will win. So there's kind of the feeling that Gravity might win because who doesn't like Gravity?
Right.
Whereas 12 Years a Slave, I still know Academy members who haven't watched the movie.
What?
What?
Are they afraid it's going to be too hard to watch?
It's amazing.
But they know they're voting, right? I mean, that's terrible.
Yeah, it is terrible. It is terrible that you hear that, I just couldn't put the screener in.
That's so interesting. I mean, maybe it's not a fair comparison to compare it to casting a ballot for in an election, but I can't tell you how many times I've been in the booth and I voted for the guy I knew and didn't know anything about the other candidate. I'm not talking about presidential or senators, but I'm talking about those lower tier, you know, things that you vote on in an election year. Because I don't bother taking the time to investigate who all these other candidates are on my ballot. But that's because that's not fun. Watching movies is fun. It seems like nobody's asking too much of you to watch 9 movies in the course of a year.
I agree. And you know, I mean, it's obviously a hard movie to watch, but it's not like, you know, you're going to be, you know, I mean, there's some psychological, you know, it's hard, but I mean, you're not going to be actually feeling the beatings or the,
right,
the whippings or anything like that. I can't imagine how you're a member of an artistic community and don't at least have sort of the curiosity to check out what this movie is all about.
Who do you think will win Best Actor and Actress?
I'm going with Matthew McConaughey for actor.
Okay.
And a lot of that is just all the momentum he has with his career,
yeah,
and how he's reinvented his career. It's just a great kind of backstory to the work itself. And he's in Wolf of Wall Street, you know, just for 10 minutes, but it's a great 10 minutes. And he's in that HBO miniseries
right now,
True Detective.
Yeah,
so like
good.
Every Sunday night on HBO, there's an hour-long commercial for how great Matthew McConaughey is right
sure.
now.
He's right place, right time, doing the right work. And Jared Leto, a guy who was gone from the filmmaking business for 6 or 7 years, could not have come back any stronger or impressed more people with, hey, this guy's for real.
Yeah, and another great story. And you know, the Oscars often go to, I mean, again, going back to what you were saying before, how do you choose between this and that, one performance or another, one movie or another? So often it's kind of the narrative behind the performance, the backstory behind it, that gets the votes and puts you over the top.
It also feels sometimes like they go, well, you know what, if we give it Best Director, then we can give another movie Best Movie. Do they do that kind of stuff?
No, that's kind of why I'm thinking 12 Years a Slave is going to win Best Picture.
Oh, you think it will? Okay.
And Alfonso Cuarón will win for director, because it has been a really good year for movies. And so it feels like, you know, you'd want to, it might be a case where you're going to spread the wealth.
Okay. And let's talk briefly before we go with you, Glenn, from the Los Angeles Times. Glenn Whipp talking to us here on the Kevin and Bean Show about the Academy Awards this Sunday night. Are you going with the favorites in the actress categories, too, Kate Blanchett and Lupita Nyong'o?
Yeah. I mean, Blanchett, ever since Blue Jasmine came out in July, it's like she won the Oscar then. I mean, everybody has been talking about that performance, and it's never, you know, it's never stopped. So she's won literally every award leading up to the Oscars, so it'd be kind of a, it'd be a major shock if she didn't win. The supporting actress race is very competitive. Lupita Nyong'o from 12 Years a Slave, really strong. Then you have Jennifer Lawrence, who everybody just loves in American Hustle. If she won, you know, she won last year for Silver Linings Playbook, lead actress. If she won, she'd have 2 Oscars at the age of 23, which by far would
wow.
be the youngest. Yeah.
And she just is awesome, too. Every time you see her interviewed or see anything about her in the news or whatever, she's always doing great things. You're right. We all love her.
She's real.
Yeah, she's real. All right, well, we're going to have to leave it there for right now. Those are the major categories, but obviously at LATimes.com, you can get far deeper into it. You can talk talk about screenplays and editing and cinematography and animated and songs and the whole deal. You cover it all. Glenn Whipp, Los Angeles Times writer, LATimes.com. Have a great time watching the show on Sunday night, and thank you for sharing your insight with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show.
You bet. Good talking to you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 938.
Ralph is here. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat on The Kevin and Bean Show. Take us home, Ralph.
I humbly request, Bean, that you live tweet the Oscars this weekend.
Now, why would you say something like that, Ralph?
Because I'm looking forward to the all Oscar special edition of Thanks for That Tweet, Bean, on Monday. That's why.
Well, good I was idea. Just reading that Donald Trump is live tweeting the Oscars. Maybe a special edition of reading his tweets, because I'm sure he won't have any idea what the hell he's talking about.
Not nearly as entertaining to me.
Pick up
Today,
the gauntlet.
Today, I'm very proud of myself.
Pick
exactly.
up the gauntlet. It's, pick it up.
If he can do it, you can do it, Bean.
That's what we're saying. Bean, Bean, Bean,
Bean, Bean, Bean, Bean, Bean, Bean, Bean.
Will you answer the call? Will you answer the call?
I don't tweet that much, and when I do, it's usually pretty high quality. Right?
Right. That's what we were thinking.
Michelle Obama.
Guilty.
She's not charged with anything. Oh, she's a lovely lady. Does a lot for everybody.
She should shut up about how we should all eat healthy foods, though.
Yeah, right.
About enough of that. Thank you, Lisa.
By the way, see where childhood obesity numbers have dropped like 39%?
No.
Is that right?
Yeah. People are very excited and sort of blown away. Well, there's been a lot of legislation about snacks available in schools, vending machines with candy and stuff being taken out, no sugary sodas anymore.
I would die.
Certain menus have been changed in some public school systems, and the message seems to be getting out there. Kids, they say, are being more active, and some credit has to go to the Let's Move program, which is Michelle Obama's pet project to get kids out there exercising and eating better, and they say the message is actually being received.
Amazed.
And they're going further and further with it to the point where they're not letting Coke sponsor sports stadiums at schools now and things like that. I mean, it's just, it's weird.
Well, if it's weird, seems like it's...
Let a kid drink a Coca-Cola.
Let him be fat.
That's all
I
I'm
like
saying.
Fat kids. They're tasty when I eat
drink
them.
It when they're older. They'll be fine.
Well, anyway, what's Michelle Obama got going on?
She is going to show up on the hour-long season finale of Parks and Recreation on April the 24th.
Oh, that's cool.
That'll be natural.
Well, actually it is. That show has a lot of politicians stop by as guest stars. Previous guests have included Vice President Joe Biden, Arizona Senator John McCain, Barbara Boxer, Olympia Snow from Maine. So because it's a show about politics, they were able to work in a lot of famous politicians. And so, to answer your question, Kevin, yes, it will be natural.
Good.
Nielsen has just added in the DVR viewing for Jimmy Fallon's first week of The Tonight Show, and it shows the largest audience in Tonight Show history since Johnny Carson's final week in 1992.
Wow.
What? That's shocking.
10.5 million viewers.
But you have to remember, nobody else was doing anything really to compete with the Olympics. And the Olympics pretty much, you know, just knocked out all new programs.
But this was Fallon came after the Olympics, though.
This is late night.
He debuted after the Olympics.
This is up against Jimmy and David Letterman.
No, he didn't debut after the Olympics. He debuted the second week of the Olympics.
Oh, did he? He was on the last week of the Olympics?
Yeah, last week.
But after the programming.
Was it syndicated?
Yeah, but I'm saying
they didn't put him on during curling. They didn't have him in the corner of the screen while curling was going on.
But I'm saying Kevin's saying that
he benefited from the primetime lead-in, which was obliterating every other lead-in. I see what he's saying. Okay.
Yes.
That's still amazing numbers, though.
It really is.
Because he is still up against the Daily Show and Chelsea Handler Adult Swim and all the other stuff.
Chelsea Handler.
And what NBC was hoping for has happened. The age of the viewers has gone down a bit, which is just what they wanted. So,
I like Fallon.
He's getting,
I mean, he's
getting more people and younger people.
He's the second best Jimmy in late night. I'll stand by that.
He's no Kimmel.
Well, let's take a look at your list.
See
where he ends up. Looks like we have a new bad guy for Star Wars Episode 7. J.J. Abrams had talked to Michael Fassbender of X-Men fame, of course, and the new RoboCop Joel Kinnaman to play the new bad guy who they say is going to be in the Darth Vader uber bad vein. But it looks like Adam Driver.
My name is Iqbal Bun Nutsack.
Nope.
No?
That's not the person.
Is the character or
was
an
guess.
Actor who's going to be
I think that was his guest.
Demi Lovato.
No,
it looks like one of the stars of Girls, Adam Driver, will be the villain in the upcoming 7th episode of Star Wars. Yeah, it's James Earl Jones' reaction to the news. So, yeah, looks like the things are falling into place. This episode, of course, will take place right after, not right after, but the events will transpire after Return of the Jedi. So, no word on what villain he's going to be, but he will be the big baddie for the next three. That's what they're saying.
Wow.
Ruff, we had somebody on as a guest on the Kevin and Bean Show, I think it was when you were out of town, who was doing a movie or was friends with or something with Carrie Fisher, and she told him that she was going to be filming Star Wars for 6 months in England. So it kind of makes it sound like those characters they're bringing back from the 70s Star Wars are major players in this new movie, not just cameos.
Yeah.
Which I think is interesting.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Gilbert Gottfried's 59 years old today. Actor John Turturro turns 57. Cindy Wilson of the B-52s is 57 as well. Radon Chong, she's 53. Robert Sean Leonard of House fame is 45 years old today. I totally screwed up the ending of House, by the way. I got it all ass backwards.
Oh, yeah. You did? What happened?
Yeah, I saw some tweets on that.
Yeah, yeah. I meant to... it was right in my head, but it came out of my mouth wrong.
Welcome to my life.
Yeah. The person who was dying in that final scenario, flip it. Reverse that.
It's Wilson.
It was Wilson. Yes,
it was Wilson. Wilson. Okay.
I got a lot of angry people who said I spoiled the ending for them, too, which I feel like saying. It's been off the air for like 2 years now. But Wilson was terminal. House fakes his own death to avoid to go to prison so they can spend Wilson's remaining days together on the road as buddies.
But they're still spooning.
And they are still forking.
That is right. That's right.
So was Wilson a cancer doctor who got cancer? Is that how that ended?
Exactly. Oh, wow. He got terminal cancer.
Heavy.
Pat Monahan of Train is 45 years old today. And Ali Larter, the lovely and talented, is 38. Jake Bugg, too. Popular singer Jake Bugg. This kid is really taking the world by storm. People love this Jake Bugg. He's 20 years old today. Bean, play a little Jake Bugg for the people who don't know who he is.
Sure.
Balls, 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 balls.
That's from the new album, Bugs on Balls. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Have a great weekend, everybody. Survive the weather. We will see you on Monday with
it's Wetmageddon!
With a full Oscar recap on Monday morning.
Don't bogart the joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
We doing this? Let's do this.
Don't bogart the joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I love doing drugs.
Roll another one.
Oh, you've done it again, Kevin.
Just like the other one.
Oh, yeah.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Don't bogart that joint.
I need another hit.
When someone comes up and says something like, I am a god, everybody says, who does he think he is? I just told you who I thought I was. A god. I just told you. That's who I think I am. No.
Roll another one.
Don't take this the wrong way, but you.
Just like the other one.
Hey, One Direction. What are you guys putting in your hands?
Seems to be about.
It makes you feel pretty dumb, doesn't it?
I don't have another cent.
Unicorns! Show ponies! Where's the beef?
I don't want to guard that joint. Just pass it around.
Oopsie, you said something super dumb.
I don't want to guard that joint, my friend.
Why? Have you ever won?
Okay, that's really very good. I'd like to try it just one more time, and then we'll call it a day. I met her on a Monday, and my heart stood still. Somebody told me that her name was Jill. Okay, great, great. All right, I'll see you next week. We'll learn some new tunes. We'll have a great time. Bye-bye.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Fire Beer Mug.